Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Hey, Jordan Harbinger here. Subscribe to the only show that will show you how to apply the world's greatest ideas from the most striking minds. After presenting more than 1,000 interviews, I couldn't be more compelled to introduce you to the Jordan Harbinger Show. We've got spies and CEOs, athletes and authors from Kobe Bryant to Malcolm Gladwell, Tony Hawk and Howie Mandel to the chairman of Google, founders of LinkedIn and Instagram, antiquities smugglers, con men, brilliant scientists, national heroes, and even the head of the CIA. Listed as Apple's best of 2018 and countless other awards that, let's be honest, you probably don't care about right now. So come and have a listen for yourself and join me as we exploit the superpowers of the world's most incredible thinkers, amazing achievers, and iconic change makers with their insights delivered right into your mind. You'll get that blueprint of their brilliance each week so that you can learn to live what you listen. Subscribe right now to The Jordan Harbinger Show, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you're listening now.
Napa Know-How.
At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa Automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa Automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, while supplies last, offer ends 8/31/20.
Hey, Collider Live fans, Cody here, and by now you've likely heard about Disney Plus, the new streaming service that includes Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic. With all these amazing brands in one place, Disney Plus has one of the most incredible libraries in the entire streaming landscape, and it's all ad-free. From beloved classics like Snow White and the Seven Dwarves to today's blockbusters like Captain Marvel and Avengers Endgame to a critically acclaimed documentaries like National Geographic's Free Solo, the content on Disney Plus is truly unparalleled. Disney Plus also offers some of the most beloved TV shows of all time, including 30 seasons of the Emmy Award-winning animated series The Simpsons. And if that weren't enough, Disney Plus has also rolled out a host of originals like The Mandalorian, the first-ever Star Wars live-action series, and High School Musical, The Series, a very meta take on the beloved film franchise. It's no wonder Disney Plus has become one of the most talked-about streaming services of 2019, so don't miss out. Sign up for Disney Plus now and start streaming all of this great content today.
Hey, Jordan Harbinger here. Subscribe to the only show that will show you how to apply the world's greatest ideas from the most striking minds. After presenting more than 1,000 interviews, I couldn't be more compelled to introduce you to the Jordan Harbinger Show. We've got spies and CEOs, athletes and authors from Kobe Bryant to Malcolm Gladwell, Tony Hawk and Howie Mandel to the chairman of Google, founders of LinkedIn and Instagram, antiquities smugglers, con men, brilliant scientists, national heroes, and even the head of the CIA. Listed as Apple's best of 2018 and countless other awards that, let's be honest, you probably don't care about right now. So come and have a listen for yourself and join me as we exploit the superpowers of the world's most incredible thinkers, amazing achievers, and iconic change makers with their insights delivered right into your mind. You'll get that blueprint of their brilliance each week so that you can learn to live what you listen. Subscribe right now to The Jordan Harbinger Show, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you're listening now.
Napa Know-How.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping on over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $35 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Collider Live, the best show on the damn YouTubes. I'm Roxy Stryer. Across from a girl I miss very much, the most evil of all time, Darina.
Buenos dias, Roxy. I miss you guys.
And you not being here yesterday felt like pain in my soul.
Well, and Josh was here.
Yeah.
I'm so sad. I missed him. I mean, not happy to have our beloved John Rocha instead.
But I'm happy to have John Rocha.
I'm happy to have Josh McCuga. It was great to see him back. Yes. I had him on sports time. It was so much fun.
Guys, he's going to be here tomorrow, too.
Yeah. I know. I'm so excited.
So we'll get him then. It will be the whole crew. Also, Mark Riley in the house.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Mark Riley.
Good jacket you got there.
Thank you.
Dear Mark,
freaking stole it.
You have a good job.
I want this one.
It's almost like all of us have cool clothes on today.
Look at this shirt. I love this shirt.
Shout out to Heroes and Villains, guys. Again, don't forget, if you were watching the show yesterday, you saw even doper clothes. Actually, equally as dope, because it's all Heroes and Villains. It's awesome stuff. And right now, I'm rocking, like, we always go against each other, D. Because
I'm rocking Batman. And I'm the Joker.
I know, and we always do that.
This is the balance of the show.
Batman, Sons of the Batman.
Yeah, Sons of the Batman.
That's from Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, it's pretty dope, but you guys are rocking the Trek.
I got Trek.
He's got Star Wars.
I'm the Mandalorian.
Look at that IGAD shirt.
You are the Mandalorian. Guys, heroesandvillains.com. Don't forget to go there. They just released a ton of stuff from Star Trek, Batman, Joker. We're kind of repping it all here.
Yeah.
Mandalore. It's awesome. Heroesandvillains.com. We are also, because I am so competitive, competing against everybody else in the office, and I want to win so badly. And, okay, here's the deal. Last time, we crushed.
Yeah.
Last time we did this, Collider crushed. So if you use the code LIVE10, LIVE10, so heroesvillains.com, use the code LIVE10, not only do you get 10% off, but we get 10% brownie points.
Hell yeah.
And I, like, really need those brownie points at this point in my life.
Agreed.
Like, desperately.
Or just brownies. Please send us brownies.
Yeah. Yes, also brownies.
Laced
if they've got something in them, we don't
them
mind
laced.
That. So heroesvillains.com, if you want cool clothes like us, be cool, kids. Don't forget
and
about it.
And they are actually really cool. They're comfortable. Mm-hmm. They're good. They're quality material, man.
The sweatshirt that I wore yesterday, I don't think you saw it yet, but it was a Trekkie sweatshirt and it was dope. And Wendy was like, hey, will you leave it here for now just while we're doing this all week? Because I don't want you to forget to bring it in. And she had to like rip it off my body because I did not want to take it off. It
Damn.
Was so effing soft.
Did you guys wrestle for it?
It was an uncomfortable moment in the office. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, it was really
like, I didn't want to look, but I wanted to look, but I didn't want to look, but I wanted to look.
You stared away, and then you looked back.
It's like that gift of that girl. She's like,
I think we put it
on. Not going to lie, Wendy was a lot stronger than I even pictured it to
be. Dude, she's little, but she's stronger than all of us, man. She knows how to sword fight.
She won that one, but I'll win the war, Dorina. I'll win the war.
I believe in you, Roxy. Unless she hides it from you, then you'll get lost.
Scrappy, there are like lightsabers everywhere.
Cody Hall, take a vote. Me or Wendy in a fight. Who you got?
Oh, Wendy's Scrappy.
Yeah.
I think I'm going Wendy.
Cody knows, Cody knows about Scrappy.
I don't know. I don't want to cross Roxy either. So,
Cody and Adam would be an interesting fight.
I would put Cody up against anybody.
I don't know who would win.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Cody.
I've never won a fight
little,
in my life.
Do you think Cody's like a wilding? Do you think he just goes, just
probably.
Come running?
No,
like,
I run and hide in a corner.
Oh, okay.
Wait, have you ever been in a fight, Cody?
Do you think he's like the clown in It? He just goes, just comes running at you real fast.
He actually goes like this.
First
he
of all,
does the
he
jig.
Does the dance before.
Yeah. Can we rewind? Because I'm stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm from Boston and incredibly scrappy and probably the only one who's been in multiple bar fights.
Wait, what does Scrappy mean?
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, I don't know. Wendy could have been in some bar fights herself.
Wait, what does Scrappy mean?
Scrappy
to ESL.
Like feisty.
Like you fight dirty.
Yeah.
Did you grow up with
Scrappy? You guys don't even know what it means.
No, I know what Scrappy means. Scrappy is like when you use your resources and you're feisty.
Okay.
So
I have the perfect way to describe this.
Scrappy
do you know
dog?
Scrappy Doo? Yes.
Scrappy
Doo. Put him on.
Hold
put on.
Tiny
you guys,
butt.
You guys keep talking. I got to find out if Wendy's ever been in a bar fight.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
there's no way she has
that.
We lost our host, you guys.
This is how we do it here at Collider Live. We scream in the office to get the facts.
Wait, Cody, have you been in a fight?
Yeah, I've lost every time.
Aww.
Wendy says like she's been in a fake bar fight. I don't know what that means. Okay. I wanted to follow up, but it seemed like she was busy.
Have you guys been in a fight before?
Oh, yes. Sure. Of course.
Did you win or lose?
Most of the time, won.
Most of the time.
Beat that ass.
Yeah.
Basically.
I could picture you in a fight.
Sure.
I could picture me in a fight.
Yeah.
I could picture you in a fight.
You can't picture me.
I can't picture you in a fight.
Why he gets upset at things?
Yeah, I know, but I can't picture him getting so upset that he hit somebody.
The only time that really happened was at camp, and I was in seventh grade, and I beat that ass.
Hey.
What did they do to deserve to get that ass beat?
I'll always remember this. It was kind of a wrestling thing happening that we're all like just kind of roughhousing the guys.
Right.
And you know, he got me down there.
On purpose.
Yeah,
what just happened to the show that you said
foul.
Down there and you said in the D? Like neither of you guys could use the word penis anymore?
He punched me in the dick and I punched him back in the face.
Oof.
Because he punched me in the dick.
Yeah, you don't do that.
It was an immediate reaction. He was like, ha ha. And I went, ha, bam.
Yeah.
Damn. And locked – he fell.
That was the last fight you got into?
That was pretty much the last fight I got
into.
First
and last.
Well, in high school, a lot there was a lot of, like, you know, running and yelling and, like, I think people were throwing things.
You
and
know
I
what
was
a
just
fight
like,
is.
Yeah, yeah. I was just in
you
the
just
middle.
Described a pep rally.
Yeah, it was a pep rally. It, you know what?
How Go much, State!
How much can people fight in Orange County? Answer, not a lot.
Fair enough.
They're all Orange County shelter. Like, hey, what are you doing, man? Hey, what are you doing? You better let me go.
Yeah.
You better let me. Okay. Yeah, I'll see you later.
It's all
I'll
posture.
See you later. Yeah, in the Taco Bell parking lot later.
In the 80s, the weirdest thing you had, like
what?
In high school fights in the
80s. Oh, God.
In high school fights in the 80s, it was just like shoulder to shoulder, face to face. And you're just like, you're just turning in a circle.
Yeah.
What are you going to fucking do? What are you going to fucking do?
I probably. It was
then
so
then
ridiculous.
You're just hugging while walking.
Yeah, it was probably this, like,
which is what you really should be doing.
Because no one wants to throw and get kicked out of school. So you're just going to spin around and not give any ground.
I got kicked out of school once for fighting.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What? Wait, how many fights have you been in, Roxy?
A lot. A good amount, honestly. Not that many. Under two hands.
But what do you mean by fight? Like literally like punches, like wrestling? Like what is the average here?
Well, first of all, I will say this. I have not been in a fight in maybe a decade.
Well, that's
so
good.
It's not like an adult thing to do. I mean, you shouldn't do it as a kid either, but you grow up. You can't just be getting in fights. Like, you
well,
can't
it's just
get
a lot of
fights.
Work. I'm just too old for it. I get lazy. Yeah. I don't have
F
the energy.
That. But when I was younger, for sure, I was scrappy. But the one time I got kicked out of school or suspended from school was justified. My parents were really proud of me because this boy, Ronald Rose Cribb, that's his name.
Oh, put him on blast.
That's a Stephen King.
Feel free to call us, Ronald.
Ronald
Rose Cribb was pissing me off. We were in the hallways between class, and he took my water bottle and was holding it, like, because I'm short. And everybody used to make fun of me for being short. You know, everybody gets made fun of for something. I was a little chubby and short, and I got made fun of a lot. I was really, really picked on when I was younger. And he was holding the water bottle over my head. Can't get it. And I was like, you motherfucker. And I think I slapped him in the face and, like, punched him in the gut or something, and he dropped the water bottle.
Good.
And I told him.
Good for you.
Yeah. I went
but
down.
But see, he deserved it.
You know what? He got suspended as well, I believe, if I recall correctly.
Have you ever picked a fight? Or are you always
the victim?
Not the victim, but like, you know.
I have never picked the fight.
Okay. You've never been the aggressor.
Yeah.
No.
There we go, aggressor.
However, I've not always been the victim either. Mm. I have joined in on many a fight. Like my
friend.
Oh, you
jump in.
Yeah, because.
Girl.
I know. But like, you can't. Mm. The last fight I got into, I believe, was when I was in college at our school bar at the 9-0.
The 9-0?
At the 9-0.
Oh, all right.
And
I got to hear about this. I've seen many fights at the 9-0.
And my best friend was in the bathroom, and this girl was trying to get into the bathroom. My friend was peeing. Something, obviously, really intoxicated. Something happened where, like, she, like, barged into the stall and, like, hit my friend. I, like, pulled her off her. But it's all very close and tight in there.
Oh, yeah.
She, like, pushed me against the sink, and I punched her in the face.
Ooh.
She got kicked out of the bar that night. I did not.
So there was a meeting.
Way
in the
to play the 9-0.
Totally, I know the bouncer.
Meeting in the ladies' room is what you're saying.
Yeah, there's a meeting in the ladies' room.
So basically what we're saying here is that we're all animals.
don't fight kids.
That is the moral of the story.
That's not true. I wouldn't say that.
Well, hey, fight
if you
fight
being,
if you got to.
Fight
if
you
have
to.
Fight if you got to. For sure, I definitely believe in that.
You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold
them. The reason I just closed the sentence with the paragraph that I just spoke. Wow, words this morning, guys. Fuck me. Yeah. The reason that I ended it with don't fight is because last time on this show, I remember I was talking about fighting for some reason, and I was like, if you fight when you can, man, or whatever I said. And oh my God, did I get shit for like a year for that.
What?
You're advising children to get in fights.
Oh, come on.
And I was like, oh boy.
That's why you should start tweeting at people when they comment, or on YouTube, just be like, oh boy.
Oh, boy.
You try to handle it with words. That's what you do. That's
you
why
do.
You can't. Yeah. You
somebody,
can't see me fighting. I try to
you,
do it with words.
You hit them back.
But if you get if you get, if it gets, you got to defend yourself. Hopefully you have your boys with you, your backup if need be.
Just like watching Sesame Street for kids.
When I was unfairly attacked by Andrew Guy, I did
Reading
not fight
Rainbow.
Back.
That's very true. You
did
not
fight back.
Yeah,
when
Andrew
Guy
unfairly
attacked me.
If you had been at a bar,
he took the higher ground.
He'd have been dead. Oh my God. What about you growing up in Mexico? You must have gotten in some fights, girl.
Why, is that in Mexico?
No, Latinos are passionate people. We get into it.
What about you, Mexico? Am I right?
I can say that. I mean,
we are known for being boxers.
We are
passionate. I get it.
That's true. Especially Mexicans.
But we fight it out in the soccer field.
There it is.
Did you play?
No. I did not move. I did not move as a kid. I didn't move. I was a couch potato until 30. And then I started exercising. I loved watching sports. Like when I was a little bit older. Not like, you know, like a little bit bigger.
You were
like
skinny
a little
fat.
Bit.
You were like skinny fat.
Yeah, like that.
Your skinny fat is the best.
No,
term.
I was a fucking nerd. I played video games and chess and musical instruments.
Nerd.
I didn't. Yeah, exactly. I did not.
I like your description of I did not move.
No, I didn't. I fucking hated moving.
And I can just picture you just on the
so
couch
hard,
like, grabbing your instrument and your video games and just bringing it all to the couch.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'm just literally picturing the world happening around Dorina.
Yeah, and I'm like
she's
standing still.
Chilling in Mexico, just sitting down.
Eating my tacos.
Everything else happening.
Limpia tu cuarto.
Yeah,
limpia tu cuarto.
I was
cleaning your quarters.
Yeah.
Room.
Cuarto's room. Yeah. That's pretty much. Yeah. Right. Good job, Roxy.
Damn.
But no,
I understand most of the stuff.
I definitely
that you guys
was bullied as a kid, but I had my brother there. So,
oh, okay, good.
So I didn't have to actually physically
you.
Buy. Oh, good for me. Yeah. So, like, I had this, like, girl try to always. Like throw shit at me, which was weird.
Yeah,
I don't just like that little girl. I need to throw stuff at her. This was just like a bully I had, and my brother had to like come in and like sat her down because he was older and like had a chat with her.
Yeah,
like my brother at like 12 years old, like an adult chat with this other 8-year-old.
See, I always wanted my
brother. Very disappointed in you, 8-year-old.
I love that though. I always wanted my brother to do that.
Did he not?
He never defended you.
Oh, was he older?
My God, he told everybody I was a lesbian.
What?
Yeah.
Is he older than you?
I love it when I can
hear did he do that?
Cody laugh through the wall.
Also, I forgot to say, is Alex here?
Alex is coming
here later.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah,
because if he is, I didn't introduce him, which I guess is fine.
Right. Alex, there's no way Alex gets into fights.
Yeah, my brother told everybody I was a lesbian because why not? He was trying to like fuck with me, and B, he was trying to make it so none of the guys would want me. It didn't work.
So a roundabout way of trying to help.
Nice humble brag there, Roxy.
No, I'm just saying.
Did they want you more?
No, it didn't work in terms of – it did the opposite. If you hear somebody – think about high school boys.
Oh, yeah,
she's a lesbian.
Oh,
that's hot. I can get that.
Yeah.
Or I can get her in another one.
Yeah,
I can turn her.
So stupid.
I can turn her.
He for sure didn't stand up for me. He didn't want me to go by his last name when we were in high school. He
oh my God.
Damn.
Oh God. Now we're best friends, but like he could not stand me.
How does that make you feel, Roxy? Is it
show me on the doll?
Would you like to dedicate a song to your brother?
Here on Coast 103.5, the holiday season.
How many days have I listened to you bitch about something?
No, I know.
This is bar fight.
I know. She has got me on target here. Do you think I'm making fun? No, I am
legitimately
Fight.
Wondering how does that
Fight.
Make you feel?
Let's take a vote. Is he making fun of me?
No, I just
I'm
thought
not
it
voting.
Would be.
I thought I.
It's the holiday season.
We're staying out
think
of it.
We are all
guys.
But you
I
went
learned,
back to because this is what I wanted to bring up.
This is Cara doing
done
in the Mandalorian.
You.
You're
done with you.
You're best friends now. When did it change? Was it college? Was it high school? Was it before that?
But
I
had
the
in
same
your radio
thing.
Voice.
Because I had the same thing with my sister, where we fought so many times, and then the holiday season would arrive and.
Guys, I kind of can't stand him today. What do I do?
Your brother
what
or
do
Riley?
I do? Riley, what do I do?
Are you having flashbacks
of
your brother?
You're speaking I like that you're speaking it out loud. Using your words.
Help. What did you do, Mark?
Help.
I have no idea.
What did you change?
Show a Baby Yoda meme. That'll make everyone happy.
I thought maybe if we opened up the conversation.
She doesn't like that. I love
you
it.
You don't like his voice.
No.
I love it. It's his radio voice. It says Coast 103.5.
Here it's the holidays on Coast 103.5.
Get me out.
Yeah. And she'd
this
fight
song
right now.
Is coming yeah. from you.
Cody!
Would you
Roxy's
like to
brother.
Throw a punch?
Cody!
And we have Dashing
what
Through
do I do?
The Snow.
Roke, take over.
Don't
move, Crosby.
Move us out.
That's Riley with his long-distance dedication to Roxy Stryer and her brother, Chip. Or is it Chet? We don't know. From
hopefully
Weird
they,
Science.
Hopefully they figured it out on this holiday season.
On this holiday season.
The holidays are here for giving and for sharing
I'm
and
done.
For being
I'm,
together.
I'm done. I've gone somewhere else. I'm in the good place now.
People Roxy, are always surprised.
We're in the room.
People are always surprised that I got bullied.
What do you
wait,
mean?
What? Because like, because
I mean,
no one would fuck with me now, but like people.
But we've all gotten bullied
right?
here.
That's
this is
why
we all work together
yeah,
as
right.
nerds.
Yo,
right. no
yeah,
one
right?
would fuck with you now.
Wait, were you? wait, wait.
Shaking
need I
of
say
the head.
More? Need I say more?
Wait, wait, wait. Well, you got your Dr. Klotz here.
Come on,
so
I got my Star Trek jacket.
Yeah. Heroes of Villains, guys, herovillains.com. Make sure you give 10% using the code
don't
LIVE10.
Don't step to this trekker.
Yeah.
Good way to wrap that up.
Oh, boom.
Man.
Boom.
You guys, I want to go back to Mexico. It was so much fun.
I want to go back to Boston. Let's fucking quit, man.
Should we just go? We should just go to our houses again. Why did we move here?
We have a dream. We got a dream, man.
Wait, is that your house you were taking pictures at?
No, that's my dad's. That's my dad's new house.
First of all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can I come visit? Because that's
yeah.
a beautiful
not
house.
Not a bikini pics we got going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, what's going
oh,
on?
Yeah?
There?
Are you bothered
are
by
you
the
walking,
rocks or did you like
this?
Hot
sexuality?
Bothered.
What's going on?
Good. Oh, yeah.
Nice. That's what we're all for you.
The room has an energy today. It's like, bam.
What is it?
Get on the
table.
Fam.
Fam?
Fam.
Is that spelled F-A-U-M?
I haven't. Roxy, what the fuck?
I don't know what it is.
Okay,
I always
you know what?
Can stand you, but today.
No.
We're going to bring this up on air. But we're going to figure this fucking out right now. Right fucking now. I need
what
this away.
What are you doing?
I am taking away any stimulus that you have in front of you.
What?
Let's talk.
But oh, shit. Mark turned into Dad Riley. Oh, shit. You made Mark turn into Dad Riley, Roxy.
I am a nice guy until a certain point.
This is year two of the psychotherapy.
Yes.
The tough love.
My therapy ain't working. This is what's
Wait,
happening now.
Is this like is this withdrawals from Thanksgiving food? Is that what's happening?
I don't know. I can't
I'm holding
look at
all
it.
Your calls, Dr. Riley. All your calls are hold.
You know, I don't know what to say.
Mark,
Roxy?
What's really bothering
Dorian,
you today?
Dorian, if you're listening, put out a poll. Team Riley or Team Roxy? I have a feeling I'm going to lose that one.
Did Dorian come into work?
Yes.
No, we just have that sound bite of him. And we
What's up, guys? Your boy Dorian. What's up, guys? Your boy Dorian.
Every time we do it, I think it's Dorian.
It's so good.
It sounds like Dorian.
Yeah. What's up, guys? How's it going?
What's up, guys? Your boy Dorian.
Dorian's getting that bread right now.
What?
That's his thing. That's his pose when he takes photos.
What are you talking about?
What?
Yeah.
Dorian's pose.
You haven't seen that?
Dorian's a Come squatter?
On. Yeah. He loves squatting and taking photos. Oh, yeah. Just go to his Instagram. In fact, Riley and Dorian both modeled
I've seen that.
Heroes
yeah.
and Villains.
You just couldn't get low enough, but I get
no,
it.
No, I can't. No, I'm
you
age.
Have jeans on right now, too.
I was going to do 2019 with him, and I was going to put
just
it as 2009.
Just click on images, Cody.
And then that is 2019.
Epic. What do you guys think it meant when Wendy said she got in a fake bar fight?
That's for probably a film or something. Or
yeah,
or
she was shooting something.
But, so then the answer is no.
I was going to put that as 2009.
Did you guys ever see the movie 13?
Yes.
Yes.
Is that the one with Evan Rachel Wood?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good movie, no?
Yeah.
Catherine Hardwick, right? The director.
Maybe, yeah.
That sounds about right. It also has the other girl in it.
Nikki something?
Yeah, Nikki Reed.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah.
After that is when my fighting days started. Because they would like slap each other and get really high, and then we would do that. So that's a good story. Let's move on.
Should we do that
Holly
now?
Hunter was the mom, right?
Yeah. All I remember is no bra, no panties. No bra, no panties. You guys remember that?
Do it.
Yeah.
You guys go now.
You sit in the room, you play the game.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Roxy's sitting in the host chair.
You know what I discovered last
do
night?
Do it.
I went to see Black
Don't
Christmas.
Don't change the subject.
What is a D cup?
Oh, boy.
What?
Here we go. Boop?
What do you mean,
boobs?
What is it?
Not boobs.
D cups.
Like a dick cup?
They called it something, and the girl put it inside her vagina.
Wait,
in
whoa.
The film.
Oh.
Wait, whoa.
Yeah, there. Oh, that's the line? That's the line?
Pretty much.
I'm trying to think
Wait.
About this.
Once
like,
there's
like is it for her
are you
period?
Sure the word was,
is it birth
maybe.
Control?
Are you sure the word was D cup?
Is there another word?
Cup? There's a Diva cup, which is a brand.
That's what it is. Then,
which
maybe.
Is, by the way, an excellent brand, and it's good for the environment because you end up. That's what I use now. A menstrual cup instead of a tampon.
Literally, fuck off.
Do you not like it?
Are you on crack? Could you guys please?
Do you not like it?
Here's what this actually is. Okay.
I'm sorry. Did I say something? Okay.
Welcome back to Vagina Live. Here we go. Vagina Live. Here's what's up. This is what Dorian is talking about right now. I want you guys to understand the severity of the situation. Mm-hmm. What most people do to stop their period, sorry if you tuned out, that's your prerogative, but I'm going to keep fucking going, is they use either a pad, which the blood falls onto, and then you throw it away, or a tampon. You shove, like, basically it's like a clump of toilet paper up into your vagina, it opens up, and it clots all the blood.
Got it.
What Dorina's doing instead is putting a fucking cup in there so that the blood just sits in a cup until you take out the cup from your vagina.
Yeah.
That shit is fucking wrong.
And the toilet looks like the Red Wedding. It's awesome.
Cody's falling apart in the bed.
No, Cody's falling apart. No,
but you guys shove a cup up there.
Yeah, well, you shove a lot of things. It's fine.
I've seen those commercials, man. That shit is wrong.
It's so good for you, though. What? It's better for your vagina because it doesn't... Cody, what do you have a daughter one day? You need to learn these things.
That's true, Cody.
Cody, can we clip this out for later, please?
Yeah, tell your daughter not to shove a cup in her vagina,
No, you're going to be in a better mood because the fucking tampons actually take away fluids that your vagina needs, whereas the cup doesn't do that.
That's true.
And it's also better for the environment because you're not throwing away a bunch of pads.
Yeah, but I am not having a cup of blood inside me all day.
Should have never asked this question.
It's just for a little
vampire shit.
I apologize to the audience for asking this question.
Don't knock it till you try it.
There we go.
I will. I will keep knocking it.
That's my fantasy football team.
So we got a poll up now.
Is it about me and you, or is it about the blood cups?
Well, yeah, I'm sure the cup is coming next.
Dorian, can you make another poll?
This show has gone downhill. I quit. I'm not watching this show.
Why do they keep talking about vaginas?
Roxy's winning by 59% to 41%.
Shit. No way.
That she would kick your ass?
No way.
No, they're just on Team Roxy today.
Oh, okay, Team Roxy.
Just the fact that Riley, today.
Yeah, I don't.
I've also never seen you so animated against a fucking menstrual cup. This is the most ranty Roxy. She doesn't like cups up her vagina.
Here's what happened this morning. I just want to tell you guys. Also, I promise we will get to news today. We got a ton of stuff to talk about. That Crisis trailer was crazy. Black Widow was crazy. We got some Star Wars news. But more importantly, I was listening to Eminem this morning on my ride over here. I will say this. Eminem might well be a top two rapper alive. Whoa. He is so fucking good. I can't help it. I love Eminem so much. I'm obsessed with him. But I haven't listened to him in the morning in a really long time. And he's certainly not a happy person.
No.
So I came in here hot.
This is what it is. And you're taking it out on me.
And the
freaking Eminem attitude.
Yeah.
You're like, you know what?
Well, because I'm listening, and this morning I'm like, till my bones collapse, till the roof comes out. Like, driving.
What song
driving
is that?
Here. You don't know it?
What song is that?
Till I Collapse.
Oh, I'm
Was that your, like, old person voice? What was that?
What song is that? I know Excuse when mom's Mark. Cleaning out her closet. I know that one.
That's like the Eddie Murphy voice.
Just take the paper.
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
Do you? I like him in him. I don't know if he's top two.
I wouldn't say top two alive ever.
But he's good.
I said alive. You think he's great, but not top two alive.
Jay-Z's still alive. Kanye's still alive.
Kanye's my other of the top two, I think. I think Kanye and Eminem are the two top alive rappers.
I'll throw in Big Daddy Kane can still do it. If you go see Big Daddy Kane's little NPR concert, his little concert on NPR, it's on YouTube, 25 minutes, raps the fuck out of that.
What about Kendrick?
Kendrick Lamar?
I like Kendrick
a
lot.
He's amazing. I think he's a fucking poet.
But the problem with both Kanye and Eminem is that what I love is 10 years old. Like, and Kendrick I love currently.
Right.
What about Q-Tip? Nas. Nas is still alive, dog.
Nas is great. I love Lupe. My brother and I were talking about this over Thanksgiving. Best female rapper ever.
Whew. Well, let's think about the ones right now. Like, who's actually big right now?
Nicki. Cardi.
That's like top 40, though. Like, who's like a...
Missy.
She's great.
It has to be Latifah.
She's amazing.
Right? For so many reasons. MC Light coming in second, but Latifah's there.
What do you think, Cody?
I'm not qualified for this one.
Do you not listen to rap, Cody?
No.
Never?
Not really. I'm more of a Sugar Ray guy.
I'm so happy.
I'm not coming into work pissed off listening to this shit.
I think that's the greatest line of all time. I'm not coming to work pissed off listening to that shit.
It's too crazy.
Damn, Sugar Cody.
Ray. I could see Cody at a Sugar Ray concert.
Maybe we all need to listen to this song on the way here.
I'm still thinking about the Blood Cup, man.
Oh, boy.
Dude, because you got to try it. You'll fucking love it, man.
I'll try it.
It's changed my life.
I can't. Where am I going to put it?
We all try the cup, and then we review it. What did you say?
I'm going to die today, and no one cares.
What did you say? What did I just miss?
No more M&M for you on the way into work.
Roka should try it. Where am I going to put it? In my ass?
Yes. Whenever your ass bleeds.
It happens.
All right. Well, okay. Here we go. All right. Okay.
Cody, we have to get out of here. We're going to a commercial. We will be coming back. Aww. We have a lot to talk about, but guys, don't forget that this commercial, and when I say don't forget, I'm about to tell you something for the first time. We have a top 10 Star Wars series that's coming out. We're about to show you a promo for it, so it's not your regular commercial. It's a dope-ass promo. Thank you to Heroes and Villains for sponsoring the top 10 Star Wars video. We'll see you guys after this break.
All right, we're here today to talk about the top 10 Star Wars films as picked by the fans, which is great because all the pressure is off us.
There's a lot of talk about Star Wars right now. Mandalorian's out. There's a new movie coming out. Star Wars Mania. But we want to see where they land.
Y'all did it. You all voted, so this is your fault.
I don't want to hear one complaint from anybody, especially you.
For something as precious as Star Wars to me, I wasn't going to allow a sect of opinion to dictate the list. I wanted to open that up more and let a much wider audience decide on the list.
I'll be honest, I'm nervous because I know that this has been voted by the fans, but I love Star Wars, but I'm not a Star Wars nut, so just be gentle.
Stay calm. I am calm. I'm talking to myself.
I love Star Wars because it is about people trying to do good in the face of adversity.
It has so much to say about our world while introducing us to new worlds.
I like the fact that aliens are representations of minorities in the world, and people are just like, look, this green dude with weird ears, he just kicks it with old boy over here.
I responded to Luke Skywalker looking up into the sky and wishing that he had more in his life, that he wanted adventure.
The world's crumbling, the world's horrible, the universe is falling apart. Anyone can be a hero. Anyone can rebel. And I also love the idea of rebels as the hero. A lot of times society sees authority one way and rebellion the other. And Star Wars is one of the first things from my childhood where I saw rebels as a positive.
It's such an incredibly rich universe and such an easy path to success that it's really become a kind of a quasi philosophy for the way that I look at life.
Do or do not. There is no try.
I think most of us can appreciate Star Wars at a young age or as an adult. I think it's a franchise that really transcends generations and backgrounds. It appeals to all of us.
The music is one of the best scores ever by John Williams, the master. How can you not love that? Even whatever you think of the new Star Wars movies, that's the best part of Star Wars is John Williams and Yoda.
I can't think of my life without Star Wars, and it still continues to inspire me and teach me and make me think. Plus, laser swords.
I know there's going to be a few curveballs. I imagine it's got to be Empire Strikes Back at number one. That's pretty much the accepted number one. But I think after number one, who knows?
I think that Empire Strikes Back should be number one. And if it's not, that is insane. However, I also understand that I'm older. The new generations might surprise me. That's kind of crazy to think about.
I don't know, man. I'm pretty... I have no, like, initial, like, gauge on what this is going to be because The Last Jedi was so divisive and some other movies were divisive as well. But I have a good gauge on what the audience was going to pick because I kind of feel like I relate to them in a way.
Great tip. Don't get cocky.
I'm hoping the fans have voted in the same way that I would. Original trilogy at the top, prequels at the bottom, and the other spin-offs somewhere in the middle.
Well, I'd assume some of the prequels would be higher on this list than they'd be on mine. And for some reason, generationally, everybody hates Attack of the Clones in a younger generation more than Phantom Menace. And to me, it's Once you demystify midichlorians, it's like you're taking the magic out of this.
I think the top spots have to go to the original trilogy. I would be really surprised, actually, if... Oh, maybe... I don't know. Now I'm going back on what I'm thinking.
I have a pretty strong feeling that the original three will probably be in the top five. But what I'm most curious about is where the most recent films come up, because I actually like all of them. I like Rogue One, I like The Last Jedi, and I like The Force Awakens. I know.
I like this guy.
My expectations are all over the place. What I expect from this list is that we celebrate and love Star Wars and have a great conversation.
I have a lot of faith in the Collider audience. I really, really do, and this is what they love. That said, if the Ewok movies aren't on this list, why are we even here?
Welcome back to Collider Live. Wow. We promise not to talk about periods. Not, you guys, the viewership went up when we started getting weird. So from now on, we're only talking weird and gross shit. Welcome back to Collider Live.
Weird and gross shit.
Drina, Riley, Roca, Roxy. You should change your name to
Cody
Rena.
Hall.
Cody Hall. Alex Marzonia?
Yeah, Rena.
He's here in spirit.
Rena, Riley, Roca, Roxy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Rena, Riley, Roca, Roxy.
Make that a song.
Rena, Riley, Roca, Roxy. Rena, Riley, Roca, Roxy. Rena, Riley, Roca, Roxy.
What are we doing?
Oh,
I didn't know we were doing.
Rena, Riley, Roca, Roxy. Rena, Riley, Roca, Roxy.
Come on.
And Cody.
Aww.
And Cody, too.
Oh, we got to work on that ending, but that
and
was good.
And Cody, also. Do you guys know how when you watch Family Guy, if they just keep repeating it, it gets funny at some point?
Oh, yeah.
At some point.
My whole plan in life.
Mom.
Cool whip.
How's that working out for you, Roxy?
Cool whip. Why are you saying that? Cool whip.
It's not working very well, Darina. I'll be honest with you.
Well, maybe if you listen to Sugar Ray every morning instead of Eminem.
Seriously, I think that's stumbled on something very interesting.
Oh, I'm in such a better mood now. Listen.
Yeah.
It is really, yeah. Really good.
Do you listen to him on the ride home? Mark Meadows, 90s at 9. Do you listen to him on the weekends? Is that what you do, Cody, too?
I should.
Yeah, you should.
What?
You know the lead singer, he hosts 90s on 9 on Sirius
XM.
No,
I didn't
know
that.
Yeah, he does. That's like a second thing he does.
Wow. Yep. The more you know.
I only listen to Coast 103.5.
I listen to that too.
Holidays.
But wait. Right before. Okay, just because it's relevant, and then I swear we'll get to news.
We're doing a giveaway for a menstrual cup.
We are, and that is the important thing. But what I was going to say was.
Signed by everybody.
If you guys are talking about radio, do you guys know what radio, other than when I'm listening to Eminem, I listen to every single morning? If you don't
95.5.
Know.
NPR.
No.
102.7, nope. Kiss FM.
Nope. Cody?
Power 106.
No, I listen to K-Love, Christian Rock. Why this little Jew girl? I did not know. So I bought my car used, and it was one of the preset stations. And I did not know for 2 years that I was listening to Christian rock music.
What is the station?
It's 100.3.
Yeah.
I think that's what it
well,
is.
Well, it's because it didn't
I
used
just,
to be
it's
that.
It's on my stations.
I think that's why. It used to be something else.
Yeah.
Yo, it's so good. I love K-Love. And honestly, they're doing a drive right now. They need money. And I am about to spend some money on K-Love. Not kidding you guys. I love them
That's
so
nice.
Much. They have fat. I am an atheist Jew.
Right.
And K-Love has my whole heart.
So we're,
you can
were
love
not,
people of all religions.
Wait, you were not listening to it on the way in, though, because otherwise I wouldn't have been in the crosshairs.
How does that work?
Atheist Jew?
What do you mean?
It's so
you can have
moving.
Different beliefs.
People
it's all
call,
good.
People
no, no,
call
like,
in.
How does that work? How can you...
People
not
call
him
the
be
greatest.
Jewish.
Oh,
because you can believe in not believe
Jewish
in the religion.
Do you believe in Moses?
I'm also Jewish by heritage.
Right, right, like, sure.
So I'm a Jew.
Okay, fair.
Yeah,
enough.
And also, actually, I think I'm probably I say atheist, but people get mad because I don't know. I'm probably agnostic because what the fuck do I know?
Right. Fair.
Yeah, and
I
also,
know.
I mean,
I don't
people
happen to believe, but maybe who knows?
That's kind of what I say because I used to say atheist, but then I mean, every religion means different things to different people. Just like there's you
sure,
know. But atheist, I feel like some people think it's kind of like agnostic, where you don't believe in religion, right? Mm-hmm. Or like in like the religion or the deities that were created by humans, right?
Yeah.
But you still believe, like certain agnostic people and certain atheists also believe that there's like something bigger or like, you know, or like nature, the universe or whatever. So, but everybody has different beliefs as to even within atheism and within their own religion.
True. And then also to answer your question, John, it's also the response to what are you? So if somebody says, what are you? Probably most people wouldn't say Christian. They would say like, oh, I'm Italian. I'm blah, blah, blah. Like if somebody says, what are you? My response is Jewish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I say alien.
Yeah.
And that's accurate, my
correct.
Friend.
Correct.
I just don't like pineapple. I just don't like pineapple on my pizza. That's what I was
Honestly,
I don't like cheese on my pizza, so it gets weirder and weirder. Riley, we got a ton of news today. What do you got for us?
There it is.
Can you use the D cup to put the sauce on the pizza?
Reno, Riley, okay.
You can use the D cup.
Star Wars, everybody. Star Wars.
Star Wars.
You want to go Star Wars?
We let's
go.
We have Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Yeah, we do have Star Wars news. It's actually pretty cool, too.
Yeah, let's talk about this then. We were having an interview with J.J. Abrams and on Nerdist, they're covering this. This was an Esquire article where he went in. Everybody's talking about Rey, right? What's Rey's origin and her parents? But he said
Rey.
He's
everyone's
shining a light.
Talking about Rey.
He's actually shining a light as well on finding out the origin and more about Finn and his backstory. Now, we know he was a, you know, FN2187. Yeah. Is that what it is?
Traitor!
You're the one in the Star Wars jacket.
Yeah, well, there it is. Nerd. So we are going to be getting a little bit more information and a little bit more of his origin on how he became a stormtrooper. And then there's more after that. So that's what JJ
that's
is
cool.
hinting at. So we're going to focus a little bit more on Finn. I think we're going to learn something about Finn that's going to be regarding the Force.
That's Darina, he's Snoke.
You're saying that's cool, but your face is saying otherwise.
Yeah. Well, no, I just because I had conflicting feelings in my head, and my face just shows that
talk
sometimes.
Talk out loud.
No, so that's what I wish half of The Last Jedi was. I wish instead of going to Canto Bight, they actually had focused on more of Finn leaving the Empire and struggling with that and then also maybe get a little backstory.
Mm-hmm. What's the conflicting feeling then? What don't
well,
you like
because
about
I,
this?
Because I thought I was like, oh yeah, I want to get to know Finn more and these new characters. And then in my head, I was just like, I didn't do that in The Last Jedi and I was just being a nerd.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, Finn, I was just being a loser. You know?
Finn kind of got lost in the plot of Last Jedi, and I think he's in J.J. said this, and sorry, it's Vanity Fair that the article is in if you want to find it there. He says, we're going to learn a lot more about Finn's backstory that was part of the setup in Episode 7. It was alluded to in Episode 7, sorry, but there's a bit more light to shed on this character. So I find I think we're going to get some big reveal with him. You got to think with Return of the Jedi, I'm going to get Star Wars sweaty with you guys. Darina, I want you in on this. Come on.
Okay.
Star Wars sweaty.
Okay.
When you think about Return
already.
Of the Jedi, when you, yep, exactly, waving to aww. That just really made my day. That was really sweet.
We got sweaty.
Yeah, we got sweaty for Schnepp. So when you think about Return of the Jedi, and there is another when Yoda kind of said that in Empire Strikes Back, that other was revealed to be Leia. So I think we're going to get kind of an echo, and that Rey has always been the main Jedi in this. And I think we're going to get a reveal of another. And I think Finn might be one of those characters.
You really do? Wow.
Yeah.
Do you think Finn is strong with the Force?
I do, because if he goes to alluding to Episode 7, the very first trailer ever we saw for the new Disney Star Wars, there was a voice that said, there has been an awakening. Have you felt it? And Finn pops up. I think that was done on purpose. And I'd like to believe it was the long play that we were going to get to Finn being Force sensitive.
I might agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the long play considering
everything that's happened. I totally agree. You know what? I hear it. I understand it. Me trying to be a positive Star Wars guy, I'd like to believe that that was JJ's intention.
Initially,
but then,
now
he handed
up.
It off to Ryan Johnson. And
Ryan
off
Johnson
and
did an amazing job.
And Ryan Johnson did an amazing job. And then JJ came back and he can pick up some loose threads.
John Rocha, what are you thinking?
I think it's a long play. I don't know if that's going to work for the fans. I think fans are pretty much resigned to just getting something about Finn and then being okay with it.
Yeah.
I think what they really want to focus on is Rey and Kylo. And it would be nice to get a backstory because, I mean, we can find out obviously where the Empire or the First Order has been selecting these people as kids to train essentially like a guerrilla army to become these just mindless warriors. And so, like, where are they getting them from? Blah, blah, blah. I think we'll get exploration of that. Finn coming home. It'll kind of balance out what we saw in Rebels, with what's the main kid in Rebels again?
Ezra.
With Ezra, like, trying to find his parents the whole time, right? Ezra Miller, yeah. Trying to find his parents the whole time, we could have Finn going back to his home planet and kind of closing the loop on that, discovering his family. I think that would be
cool. You touched on it, though.
Yeah.
Why was he the only stormtrooper in the First Order to turn away and to go against his counter-programming? That's why I feel that there's some force element in that.
What are other answers to that question?
I don't know. What do you mean? Like –
You said why?
But see, that's what I hope we get a little bit more of the army, like to touch on what you said, Roka. Get a little bit more on why and how they're picked. What's the conditioning? What is it? They're brainwashed and all these different things to become a First Order stormtrooper.
But let me ask you this: what do you guys like out of all the new movies, like the new trilogy? Like, what's the character that you're like? This is my character. This is the one I'm obsessed with. This Kylo is the Ren. One I want to focus on.
Kylo.
Rey.
How come?
Why do I like Kylo best?
Or what makes them so interesting that you'd rather this movie focus on them?
I think a lot of it has to do with performance.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's a great actor. Yeah. He is. He really is.
And the circumstances around his character, I love that he is being tortured by the light, and yet he keeps choosing the darkness. Mm-hmm. I find that fascinating.
Because of where he comes from.
And from where he comes from.
It's the what if and walking on that balancing act, where you're going to go.
And I hope they go there, because Rise of Skywalker, everybody has been talking about Rey and could it be connected to Rey somehow. Is she going to be a Skywalker? It's revealed. I don't think so. And I like to believe that this Skywalker saga is all about Kylo, because he's a Skywalker.
Who's yours?
Well, because that's what I was trying to think about, because like the first time – and I want to hear Roka's take on Rey. But when I first saw the movie, I was obsessed with Rey. That scene where she grabs the lightsaber – spoilers – from Kylo, I was like, oh, shit. Like that's the first scene in the movie that I was like – I felt like a kid again, right? And it's just also – was excellent in that movie as an actress. But it's interesting you brought up the Finn thing news-wise today, because I feel like I really wanted to see that, you know, bad guy, stormtrooper, not really be bad and come to help the rebels. Like, we haven't really seen that in any Star Wars movie. I feel like that should have been developed more. And maybe JJ had that plan, right? I don't know.
Right.
But Rey was definitely somebody that I was like, oh shit, she's fucking awesome.
I just like it because I'm a TV fan. And when you're writing a pilot, they say that your pilot should be really episode 3 of the series, right? And it's why in television we get so many flashbacks and why you jump in with these characters and then you learn more about them as we go. So I like the fact that they're like, we haven't forgotten about you. Mm-hmm. We are going to explain a little bit more why he is the way he is, where that comes from. And I just think it's smart storytelling. Right. As long as his background is cool. Right. If it's boring, if it's something like going to a planet where we spend half an hour on and he's gambling and it sucks dick, then it sucks. But like, if it's cool, then I'm excited to watch it.
Right.
John, why Rey for you, did you say?
Just because you're a bad guy does not mean you're a bad guy. For me, Rey is...
Keep with the accents, please.
I'll get you next time, Gadget.
Gadget. For me, it's more about that I like the fact that we have a character like Rey who doesn't fit all the norms that we've seen before in Star Wars. The beats are not necessarily the same. She's way more Force-sensitive than Luke was. She's way more aware of the situation than Anakin was. She doesn't stumble into the – like for her, it's instinct. Everything has been instinct to get her out of the situation, get her into a situation, figure things out as it goes along. I mean, she's going toe-to-toe with Luke in Jedi being like, get your ass back in the battle. Stop being out here as an old man whining and complaining. Come fight. Are you not going to fight? Fuck you. I'm going to go fight. You know? I like that she's constantly driving towards
you.
Yeah, right, exactly. she's constantly driving towards what she thinks is the right thing to do. So, and I know some people be upset about, oh, she used the Force so quickly, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. What I care is that she's a character that's pushing through, like people in life, pushing through to accomplish something, and no one's going to keep her from that goal. And she's learning as she goes along, and she's acquiring information so quickly and so intelligently, and she's processing it and then applying it to the next challenge in front of her or obstacle in front of her, and she's going forward. And if she wasn't pushing forward momentum, everyone else would be sitting around going, what do we do? Why are we not doing this? Why, blah, blah, blah. She's the one pushing everything forward.
Right.
Not Poe, not Kylo, certainly not Finn. And so that's why I like Rey so much.
Well, and also it's interesting that people complain about, like, oh, why is she so Force sensitive right away? I'm like, well, then what about Anakin?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a child, and people thought he was the chosen one.
#BringBackHayden.
Yeah. Well, JJ even said that I think there's going to be an answer with why Rey is as good as she is. I think he's going to go there, and I think it's going to be tied to Finn. And I think a lot of these things we've talked about on Rule of Two all the time, me and Fernandez, is that there is a lot to kind of wrap up in Rise of Skywalker. Hopefully they can do it, and it's satisfying for everybody because there are a lot of questions.
It's
hard to judge the trilogy. I'm sure we'd be – put ourselves after Empire Strikes Back, how many questions there were leading into Return of the Jedi, and then how many answers we did get in Return of the Jedi. Hopefully we have the same kind of closure with Rise of Skywalker.
I agree. Mark the Yodiest Riley, though. I think it's time to move on to trailers.
Let's do it. Trailers.
But before that, I really hope that we get another Yub Nub.
You know we're getting Ewoks, right?
Well, we better get another Yub Nub.
But do you know it was confirmed
that
we're getting Ewoks?
But we haven't confirmed the Yub Nub part.
Well, I think it's kind of.
I need the Yub Nub. I need the Yub Nub.
Okay.
Well, hey, I will Yub Nub all up and down the place
for
you. So there it is. Black Widow trailer was revealed today. Did you guys see the first trailer ever for Black Widow that's coming out in May of 2020 this year? Roxy.
I did see it. And I have to be honest with you guys, I don't have very strong thoughts on it. I thought
I'm with you.
I thought that the trailer.
Really? I'm with you, yeah.
It was a trailer. Black Widow has not been my favorite character, being completely upfront.
Yep.
I watched this trailer and it looked like totally fine. Totally fine. Nothing about it peeved me. Nothing about it was upsetting. It was cool. There were some cool action sequences. I like Florence Pugh a lot.
Yeah.
So cool. I'm in. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm kind of with Roxy too, but I love Black Widow in Winter Soldier, but I feel like her character just was not developed well in any of the other movies. Mm. So if we get that Black Widow, if we get to see, because Scarlett Johansson, whatever you think of her, she's a great actor.
I think she's fucking phenomenal,
fucking
actress.
Amazing in Jojo Rabbit.
Like holy crap.
Marriage Story.
Oh, so good. And so
she's incredible.
Yeah. So if they focus on that, if they bring that. Natasha does, then I'm down. Especially, I will watch anything with Florence Pugh. I'm obsessed with that woman. Yep. She's fucking awesome. She's made all my favorite movies this year. Midsommar, Little Women. She's fantastic. So I will watch anything with her.
Did you feel like this trailer, though, was giving you the Natasha vibes that you wanted, or you couldn't tell from this trailer?
I feel like you, specifically because of the rest of the cast, I don't think, like, Rachel Weisz, David Harbour, like, I'm hoping that it's more of a character story because of that. Right. Mm-hmm. And you see it, like the fact that you have the family sitting down and the dad like wearing that suit and it doesn't fit. Like, hopefully we'll get a little bit of like fewer Marvel MCU puns and more character story. That's what I'm hoping for.
Okay. Yeah. Roka?
I loved it. I thought it was great. It's a teaser trailer. You're not going to get much of the story. Mm-hmm. They gave you the vibe of what this film is going to be about. So it's got that Jason Bourne-ish vibe to it.
Wait, how long was it?
2 minutes.
And it's not an official trailer?
It's not official. It's a teaser trailer.
It's a teaser trailer. Yeah.
Official teaser, they're calling it.
Why? What? I don't understand anymore what the difference between a teaser and a trailer is.
It's a freaking trailer to me.
Well, there's a teaser of a teaser of a teaser.
So. I think it's whatever they decide to do it in the studio. They're allowed to call it whatever they want. We can call it differently if we want. It certainly felt like a trailer to me, like you said. 2 minutes, that's a standard thing for a trailer. But I enjoyed that you got a little more with Natasha. And I don't disagree with you. I think she's not a lot of people's favorite characters because they have done a good job building her backstory in all those movies.
Yeah.
Winter Soldiers, where she really gets a chance to like spread her wings, Scarlett does. And so that fact that she's getting to do this in this movie is great. We get that little MCU humor when they're all sitting around the table and they go, still feats, all of that. You got the fifth. That's funny stuff. David Harbour's, you bring in a guy like that because that's perfect for Red Guardian. Rachel Weisz's character is supposed to turn into a villain down the road. I don't know if she will in this movie. Mm-hmm. The main villain is Taskmaster, who we saw popping out of that tank. So all of that's there. I like the opening, like, boom, 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 synthesizer
score.
That was cool.
The Inception horn.
Yeah, exactly, which I enjoy. So it's got a little bit of Winter Soldier vibes to it. So maybe Sebastian Stan shows up.
Do you think if he does show up, we will see that in a teaser or trailer prior to the movie?
No. I don't think so. I think that would be a big mistake.
Because it'll probably be like a cameo.
Yeah, something small. Because, she showed up in Captain America movies, so why wouldn't he kind of show up as a Winter Soldier connected to Captain America? But overall, I thought it was a nice vibe, and I think I love seeing her in the white suit. That was badass, which I haven't seen in that's from the comics in the early 2000s, so that's fun to see. So there's a lot of it that has this fighting vibe, Jason Bourne vibe, but also the MCU humor. So I think it's the right kind of film to give her to try to build her character up, and hopefully you walk away with it feeling like she's a better character and a more fleshed out character.
Hmm. Right. Yeah, similar, like, yes, Obi-Wan died, but we're still getting his movies, right? Like, so
right.
why not? If you have a good character that you can flesh out properly, do it.
Yeah.
Especially with Florence Pugh in the movie.
Yes, that's the trick, right, is making us care for the stakes, knowing the outcome of this character,
exactly.
especially Black Widow. We know what happens to her in Endgame.
Right.
So that's what I think lands with me is that you're coming off the high of Endgame mm-hmm. with, like, the culmination of all this stuff. I mean, you're so emotional. We know what happens with Black Widow. For this, you know, it's like it looked across the board looks great. For me, the stakes, I'm like, well, I know what happens. So I can't really get so excited for it because I know the eventual outcome. Now it's up to the filmmakers and the movie itself to just make me care.
Yeah.
And I think it's all there. It looks great. I'm going to see this movie. But for the trailer, for the very first reaction, I'm like, cool.
I know that it's hard to say without seeing, but do you wish that this movie came out before Endgame?
Hell yes. 100%. It would have worked a lot better for me.
I don't know. I mean, because it's set after Civil War.
We don't know. I mean, it's set under wraps still.
I don't
but...
necessarily mean right before Endgame. I mean chronologically or
maybe after Civil War.
But the interesting thing about Endgame and all of these, not just the movies, but the TV shows we're getting, right? Like Loki and Wanda, like it's that's an interesting question because I think about, like, are there any of those characters that I want to really, like, dying to see their story still after we've already seen Endgame? And I can't really think of one. I'm trying to think of, like, of Doctor Strange, but we're getting another movie.
We are. Yeah. And I think that's why the Black Widow thing works because she's been the one that's been kind of shortchanged in the whole situation. So she gets a thing. You said it after Infinity War. Thunderbolt Ross is a part of this thing. So how much of the Hulk is involved in this? Because remember, they're still having some kind of situation after Civil War. And I think it works putting it before Infinity War and Endgame because in the comics, her sister, Florence Pugh, takes over Black Widow. Yelena Belova. So it makes sense for her to sacrifice herself in Endgame because that doesn't mean that will be no Black Widow. Her sister's taken over that spot.
Right.
So she can sacrifice herself more willingly in the situation.
So you think this movie can maybe fill in that kind of choice and make it a little bit more poignant when we revisit Endgame.
Yes,
I like that.
And I'll throw something else in there if we're not belaboring the point. There was a deleted scene released a couple of days ago from Infinity War where Doctor Strange was in the astral plane talking to Spider-Man to convince Mantis to bring back to life Drax and Star-Lord and Nebula, who had kind of been killed by Thanos, and she brings them back to life with her antlers, which are connected or whatever they're
antennas.
Yeah, they're antennae connected to the Soul Stone. So is there a possibility down the road, releasing this right before Black Widow, that she goes and brings Black Widow out of the Soul Stone in the sequel? It's Florence Pugh and Scarlett Johansson coming back together again after she supposedly dies.
So Black Widow, back to life.
Somebody in the comments is correcting John.
Uh-oh.
Hulk is not on Earth. He's still on Sikar.
After Civil War?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're still saying it. John, and I like that. However, I think that what's so hard is the longevity of these movies. Does it diminish the value of Endgame to bring back ScarJo after Endgame?
Right.
Well, it makes her a sympathetic character because she died. So people are like wanting to see that.
Yeah, but does it make the movie less impactful?
Well, that was my point about Obi-Wan, that we're still getting movies where we already know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying legitimately bringing her back.
Oh, you mean if they brought her back?
Yeah.
Well, they brought back everyone else.
Well, that's a problem with comic books.
Right.
But not from dying.
Well, Gamora, they kind of
undid the
cheated
snap.
Bringing back Gamora.
They did cheat that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cody, did you watch this trailer?
Yeah, I'm with you. Though. I don't really have much of an emotional reaction. It looks cool. I'll see it. But no real hot takes for me today.
Has Alex graced us with his presence yet?
Alex, he's not here.
Alex
is not here right now.
He's like, I'm not coming. I'm listening to Sugar Ray instead.
Hell yeah, he is.
Or maybe he's writing our theme song.
That's true.
What's up with that?
What happened there?
What did happen? I just wrote it for him. Rena Riley, Roka Roxy, and Cody. And Alex Lenny shows up, which is not very often.
Wear a menstrual cup.
We're back. Already back there. Huh?
And we're back.
We did it.
Roka's like, why did I sign up for this shit?
No, I'm having a good time. It's a fun morning.
I'm having a good time, too. And what else I was having a good time with was the Crisis on Infinite Earths trailer.
Yeah, that's a segue, isn't it?
That is a segue. Yeah.
You're a big fan of those TV shows, right?
So here's the deal. Yeah, I guess. Here, I love DC, and I watch every DC CW TV show, including the off, like, iZombies and right. Legends of Tomorrow of the World, but Supergirl, Black Lightning, Arrow, Flash, all of them I watch. I loved them all at one time. They've definitely peaked and valleyed. Some of them suck at times, but I've hung in, and I feel like Crisis, I feel like I have been waiting for this for 8 years.
Okay.
So I'm so invested. I was going to say I feel like I've earned this and deserved it as a fan, but then it started having reminiscence of Christian Harloff circa Galaxy's Edge.
Galaxy Gate.
So I changed my verbiage, but then I let you guys know what I was thinking anyway, because no fucking filter. Yep. Anyway, so I feel
start
like
a petition.
This is for the people like me who have spent 8 years watching fucking 8 TV shows.
Right, right.
And like are ready for this.
You're like, I have done my time.
Yeah, totally. And talk about it every single week on DC Movie News, and have covered multiple of the shows on all different outlets, including AfterBuzz, Only Stupid Answers, SourceFed, you know, Screen Junkies, Nerdist. Like, I've talked about these shows for years. So I am fucking ready for this. I am ready for Crisis. That being said, I think it's also for people like Riley, who yep. love Superman right. in general, liked Smallville, and want to see this. Mm-hmm. Or you guys, just nerdy as hell. Right. Like, it's all, I think they're doing a great job finding something for everyone right now, and this trailer really did that. Really did that for me.
Well,
like,
yeah.
I tried to put my head in all different positions, and I was like, I think anybody can find something they like in this.
Yeah, because even if I'm not into these shows as much, I'm more of a casual fan because my husband watches all of them, right? Like, he's obsessed with them. He loved Flash forever. But just seeing the trailer, I'm like, oh, yeah, even if I don't catch up, I can just watch that episode, and I can just watch the series and be happy.
Well, so. They're definitely not – it's not like a rocket science where if you watch this and you'll be like, what the hell is happening here? It's superhero stuff. So
and
I think,
Superman and all the people.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I want to see. I just want to see how they're going to meet up with Smallville's Clark Kent and – you know, the other Superman, and how does Brandon Routh's Superman come in?
So you are going to watch.
Oh, I'm definitely going to watch because
you
of,
are too.
To your point, Roxy, it's yeah. the fact that there's something for everybody. I'm a Superman guy, so I can look at this on the outside. I have not seen one episode of any of these Arrow, Flash, Black Lightning, any of these, but I watched a couple seasons of Smallville. So, but for this, it's just like, let me just watch and have fun. And mm-hmm. see if I can keep up with all of it. I just want to see some cool Superman action and see how they do the story for a well-known comic run.
I think it's great if you're a nerd about the comic book, the original comic book, Crisis on Infinite Earths and other stuff. I mean, having the monitor on there is like – I never thought I'd see that
yeah,
on
it's
screen.
Wild.
It's kind of mind-blowing. And having all the play – bringing back Tom Welling, Kevin Conroy playing the Batman, which is essentially the Azrael Batman when Batman has his back broken by Bane. Mm-hmm. So like, oh, this is an interesting version of Batman you want to bring into the situation.
Is that for real?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, him coming down in the thing is with how Batman yeah. was.
Kevin cool. Conroy? What? What do you mean Kevin Conroy?
Kevin Conroy.
He's actually going to be
Did
in
you
this.
See him in the trailer?
In the trailer?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I missed it.
Wait, but that was him?
When he's walking down the steps.
Holy
and goes,
shit.
Kate,
this is, that's what I'm saying. Something for everybody. But this is what I'm confused about, John. As a fan of the CW shows, I don't understand. So we know that Kate Kane, I'm just going to – spoilers for Batwoman, okay, if you're watching the show. What you know is that when she was a kid, she was in a car accident, and that's when her – and there's a situation with her mom and her sister, but Batman came and saved her out of the car, Batman being her cousin.
Right.
So he has to be older than her enough that at least he was Batman by
right.
that
right,
point.
Right.
But Kate Kane is Ruby Rose. Mm-hmm. Ruby Rose is, I don't know, 30-something.
Yeah, sure.
Kevin Conroy is
– 60-something.
60-something. Mm-hmm. When Kevin Conroy walks in and she says, Bruce? So you're telling me that Kevin Conroy is this Batwoman's – cousin?
Multiverse.
Could be.
I guess so.
No, but not multiverse, because that's our Kate. I mean, or
so
maybe multiverse.
But the way she says Bruce is shock. So
you think he had just introduced himself and said, I'm Bruce, and she said, Bruce? Or you think that
no.
she...
I think he's a Bruce from another alternate timeline, and she sees him walking with all the stuff on, and she's like shocked to see him look that way.
But you think that's what that's the age difference of her Bruce?
Could be.
I think the timeline sounds more like it. Because
if Batman's in his 30s when he saves her, how old is she?
Well, I don't know if he's in his 30s, but okay. I guess if he's Batman, then maybe.
He's kind of ageless. Plus, it's
how old was she when she was rescued? Did you say?
A kid.
She was a kid.
A kid, so let's say seven.
Seven or something? Yeah, but the guy, Luke Fox is Batman's...
Lucius Fox?
No,
Lucius Fox.
Luke Fox.
But he's called Luke Fox. Yeah. Okay.
Actually, it's Lucius Fox's son.
Yeah.
Okay. Luke Fox is like left behind in the Batcave, basically. Right. And he is Ruby Rose's age. But he worked for Kevin Conroy? I'm so excited for this in every aspect. However, I hope it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because we've got a lot of fan service going on, and I use that as a pretty word, not an ugly word. Fan service can be really great.
Right.
But the fact that we are throwing in everything from like images of Nick Cage to Kevin Conroy to
Michael Keaton.
There have been so many rumors, too. I don't know how many of them are true, how many of them are not true, that Brandon Routh is going to be both the Adam and Superman, that we've got three Supermans. Tyler Hoechlin's also coming in, Tom Welling. Like, there's just so much stuff going on that I'm like, please, dear God, make this make sense, because you can't risk the storyline for the sake of bringing back actors. Mm. But we have five episodes to do it, and what's really cool about that is that three of those episodes take place in December, and then two of them wait an entire month. So that means that we can have a really cool cliffhanging kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Which I'm all about.
And really quick, from the comments, a lot of people are saying that my cousins are my parents' age and blah, blah, blah. So there you go.
Yeah, I guess so. There's that. I just, every time she's talked about Bruce, I've pictured somebody like 10 years older than her. Just because she says they were close growing up.
Not the Earth Batman, technically. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just hope
Batman's
it's like
gone for a little bit, but he's still like Batman. Mm-hmm.
I just hope it's like Days of Future Past, where whatever they do, well, that they just did that, but I liked it. So whatever. I had fun during the movie, you know?
Yeah, and by the end of it, I'm hoping that, boom, one Earth, so now we can have more crossovers.
Yes.
Like everybody's...
Earth 38.
Yeah, Earth 38, exactly, which was cool to see that in the teaser or the trailer as well.
What's your favorite... What do you think is the best show out of all of them?
It's so hard to answer because ask me per week. Like, they're... The most consistent from start to finish has been Arrow.
Yeah.
Although there was 2 years where Arrow sucked.
That's when I stopped watching.
Right.
I couldn't.
Yeah. It sucks.
The love triangle was fucking annoying. Yeah, there you go.
Definitely was never my favorite. I always loved Supergirl and Flash, but Legends of Tomorrow has been my favorite for a while.
That's my favorite.
And then Titans is popping in to this crossover
as
well.
Is Doom Patrol coming into this one?
I haven't heard that. Okay. I've only heard
That'd
Titans.
Be crazy.
But, but Titans was awesome this season.
Yeah.
Season one I didn't love. Season two was amazing. So I don't know. I go back and forth, and then I guess my favorite DC show that's currently on the air is Watchmen, which is the one show that won't be appearing in this. Although that would be wild if it did.
That'd be great.
Alan Moore would shit himself.
Why is Dr. Manhattan
Rorschach?
Alan Moore would shit a blue dildo. That's what would happen if that happened. Oh, my God.
That's a more visual image than the blood cup.
We're hitting it all today.
Yeah, we definitely are. Riley, what other news you got for us today?
Can I please go over this one news with you that
is
absolutely... Yeah, you should be.
What
because
is it?
Everybody should be worried about this.
What's going on, Mark?
Johnny Depp.
Oh.
Is going to be mounting a production.
This is a Dorina opening night production.
I've not heard of this. What?
Oh, you're going to hear about
What's
it now.
Happening?
Dorina already bought tickets for this.
Yeah, he's mounting an unauthorized biography of Michael Jackson on stage, told from the point of view of the glove.
Start again.
So,
start again.
Yes.
I'm reading.
But I'm not kidding. Say it again.
Johnny Depp will produce a musical about Michael Jackson's rhinestone glove.
Yep.
Okay, so there's an indie theater circuit. Will soon mount an unauthorized musical. This is from Forbes.
Musical on stage?
Musical on stage for the life of Michael Jackson from the perspective of his most recognizable fashion accessory, the glove. And it's going to be called For the Love of a Glove, an unauthorized musical fable about the life of Michael Jackson as told by his glove. That's the title. So I know from writing a lot of biopics said this is the –
Wait, are you guys fucking with me?
No.
This is a real thing?
No, it's a real thing?
No, it's fucking – it's
in
the news.
You guys set me up.
No.
No.
Forbes covered and everything.
Nope.
Yeah.
Oh. This is literally news.
Keep going. Yeah, so, thank you, Cody. Look this up.
Johnny, it's in the rundown. It's in the rundown. If you want to click the link under the under the rundown here, we have it.
Shout out to Tabitha for saying poor glove.
Poor glove, yeah.
Wait, Riley, keep going.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the line that got me.
Stay in the courtyard.
Hold on real quick. Keep talking amongst yourselves while I find this, because I have to read to you one of the things, and I have to read it because it's absolutely batshit crazy.
For the love of a glove.
I said, how's this? Everything MJ has been accused of has actually been caused by his glove, which is actually an alien from outer space and feeds on virgin boy blood.
Wait, who's saying this? Who's saying this?
They laughed and said,
Who said that? Johnny Depp said that?
Nitzberg.
What, Riley? Tell me. Say what you're saying again.
This is probably the worst article I cannot find. Julian Nitzberg is a writer-director who is going to be doing For the Love of a Glove. And when he was pitching this, he said this to Page Six. I'm known for writing a lot of biopics. A major TV network wanted me to write a Jackson movie. But the question came up about how to deal with the child abuse allegations. So he said, how's this? Everything MJ has been accused of has actually been caused by his glove, which is actually an alien from outer space and feeds on virgin boy blood. They laughed and said, can you do the normal version? Which he basically said, no, I can't. So with his revised premise, nixing those development plans, Nitzberg stuck with that framework and began formatting it for stage. For the Love of a Glove will reportedly look into the strange forces that shaped Michael and the scandals that bedeviled his reputation, with the enigmatic and nefarious glove acting as a singing narrator.
Holy shit. I did.
And that's it for Collider Live.
I'll watch it if Florence Pugh is a glove.
So here's the thing. When I was adding some things to the show this morning, I read this and I went, we got to talk about this because Johnny Depp wants to produce this frickin' musical and this thing wants to come out and do this take on everything.
Okay. I guess it's my job to actually comment on this.
It's batshit.
Here we go.
I think your face is going to say,
I can't believe I'm reading it.
That was our reaction too when we read it.
Multiple things here.
Yeah. I definitely want to watch this because it's such a shit show.
Number one, it would kind of be like if Jojo Rabbit came out in 1946 and also it was coming out by somebody who was accused of domestic violence.
Right.
And also that it wasn't interesting or good, and they were also blaming the Holocaust on Hitler's mustache, which came from outer space.
Because it was CG.
So that would be like the equivalent of how I feel right now, just to be clear. I mean,
however, though, remember the Holocaust did happen, and the Michael Jackson thing is like not specifically proven, right? But I see what you're saying.
Oh, 100%, 100%. And I'm not calling him the Holocaust whatever. But like that's how I feel about making this movie, right, where it's like, holy shit, are you in touchy territory, right, that is so recent? And also, you're going to address the issues. You're going to say that they happened. You're going to say that he was a child molester, but you're going to blame it on the glove?
Correct. Let me give you a little bit more backstory on this creator. One of Nitzberg's most recent stage productions, The Beastly Bombing or A Terrible Tale of Terrorists Tamed by the Tangles of Love, that is the title, was awarded
Give best, it to me again.
The Beastly Bombing or A Terrible Tale of Terrorists Tamed by the Tangles of Love.
That's one title.
That is one title. Mm-hmm. And it was awarded Best Musical of the Year by LA Weekly in 2006. That was a production he mounted that many years ago. While the play was a cult success in Southern California, its satirically flippant depiction of Al-Qaeda and homegrown American terrorists prompted Wicked and Godspell composer Stephen Schwartz to declare it the most offensive and morally unredeemable musical I've ever heard.
Hmm. I do like Stephen Schwartz.
Yeah, so one of the creators of Wicked called it the most unredeemable musical I've ever heard. So,
well, maybe
you
Johnny
can kind
Depp
of understand the divisiveness he's going for when he's going to mount this. And
maybe
Johnny Depp
wants to make the most like unredeemable musical. Maybe he wants to beat the other musical.
The fact that Johnny Depp wants to do this.
I guess anybody's allowed to shoot their shot, man. So, like, Johnny Depp has put himself in a position where he has enough money to produce this, so he's allowed to do that because that's how the world works. I don't know why on earth, especially being in the hot water that he's in right now, this would be his career move.
Right.
But if he
100%.
If
I
he
have
wants
no idea.
To, then he wants to, and whoever wants to see it should.
Right. I mean, it also
I guess. I mean,
but it also depends on what type of musical it is. Like, is it going to be just like satire
with
a really touchy
right?
subject? Because, I mean, if you have great writers, some people will think it's horrible and offensive, and some people will think it's good and funny.
John,
that's the way of the world.
John, weigh in.
I don't know what you want me to say. This is, it's like, this is a very interesting situation on so many levels because, A, you make a great point, Roxy. Like, this guy is still in knee deep in the Amber Heard stuff, and people are taking sides on that one way or another.
Currently in court.
Yeah, currently in court, and there have been some videos and on both sides. So,
100% both sides.
I can't fall on either side on that situation. I just, like, I'm like, that's just a terrible relationship, and we've all been in them. And if someone put a window on us, or a camera on us in bad relationships, we probably weren't acting our best. So,
I don't know if I ever tried to chop off somebody's finger. But...
Or the rumor of poop in someone's bed. I would never have done that either, which is the rumor that she might have done that to Johnny.
What if they grabbed your water bottle and, like, you can't grab it?
I don't know. Anyway, it's crazy.
They probably wouldn't shit in their bed. Yeah, right. You never know.
It's just weird all around, so I don't get involved in that kind of stuff. But this this thing is like I could see it going really, really well and becoming that an L.A. crowd would love or a New York crowd would find interesting. If it's funny and the music is incredible and the lyrics are fantastic and they don't let him off the hook, I could see it working.
But
weirder
how
things
do you
have
not,
worked.
How do you not let him off the hook if you blame it on an alien glove?
Well, because he still did it, right?
Yeah, but
well, we don't know what the musical's going to be. Or
right.
We don't know if they're actually going to
is this so,
say this is what happened, right?
Maybe if the it's glove's just, not used as a cop-out to
right.
say, then I think it can still work.
But, or it could be totally fucking wild. Like it could just be like a Little Shop of Horrors where
that's
it's all
I mean.
Fantastical.
Yeah.
And
granted,
Little Shop of Horrors is like the best musical
what
ever.
What was the Demento one with the sing-along with Neil Patrick Harris? What was that one?
Dr. Horrible.
Yeah, it could be something like that.
Right.
Going back to what you said, though, about the Holocaust actually happening.
Right.
I think that most people who – actually, it's not most people. There's a third of the population doesn't believe the Holocaust took place, which is fucking insane. That's a real fucking statistic, which makes me want to gouge my eyes out. But if you are an actual human being who lives on this planet and is like a functioning person, you know that the Holocaust took place. So I think that Jojo Rabbit takes less of a risk because it's not like you watch that movie and you think, whose side are you on, though?
Right.
Yeah.
Like anybody who watches that movie who's like, but I can see what the Nazis were thinking is a psychopath, and we've determined that. Mm-hmm. If you're watching this movie, I would say it's 50-50 right now. People believe Michael Jackson did this. People believe Michael Jackson didn't do this. So, and it's so, so recent. Like, I don't know. It's almost like they need to wait a decade
in
order to get
that.
Laughs from this because I don't know if people can laugh at this yet. It's so current.
But then again, think about
maybe.
Like when did O.J. come out with his book, right?
I mean, there's just – or whatever.
Yeah. It's like crazy
wasn't
shit
like,
that
like
people
during
do
the civil trial?
Yeah.
Yeah, it I was. Mean, if I did it.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, that's it. Like what did it do well?
Right. It was going to do well until they –
they took all the proceeds.
Yeah,
for
Goldman
the Goldman
sued
right.
and said you have to give all the proceeds to me or to charity or something like that. So,
that was the first glove musical they should have done.
But here's the thing I want you all to think about.
Sure,
fair. Oh,
nice.
Jesus Christ.
But I don't think most people would disagree that he did it. So
it's true.
Right.
That's a good point.
But I also think most people would not want to see a musical about it.
And
that.
He wrote a book about it.
He did.
So there you go.
But you look at the situation. Like, I find this to be fascinating for people who are like Johnny Depp. I'm like, Johnny Depp's always been a weird guy. Just because when he started out you loved him for being weird doesn't mean he stops being weird, becomes popular or mainstream. Right. He's at that age where like he could give a fuck about being weird. Like all of us who get older, like we start to care less and less about. We just want to be ourselves.
But you know what?
And so he's weird all the time.
You know what? Being less weird, being more weird has gotten him though less good of a performer.
Probably.
Like, yeah.
Although I like him in Black Mass. He's fantastic in Black Mass. That was only a few years ago.
He was good in that. But the other stuff, he's just playing like
I thought good, but I didn't think it was his best performance. Mm. I think that he. He was growing up to me. He was the most talented actor on the planet.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I thought that he was everything. And
because of what movies? Just when he was younger.
everything. Everything he did. I mean, he could be the sexiest man in the room or be a fucking pirate. Like, right. Who's also the sexiest man in the room. Mm. Like, I loved him. I thought he was so, so great. And to me, it was like Brad Pitt, Leo, Johnny Depp. Like, those were the people I was watching.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck. Mm-hmm. And now...
John of course, Cena. Always.
I don't know. I feel like he's made a series of bad choices for his roles, and whatever. That's not completely relevant about this. I'm just saying that he might not give a fuck, but I don't think it does well for his legacy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, maybe he doesn't carry there, and maybe it also depends on like we live in this news bubble, right? Where like a bunch of people just know Johnny Depp and Michael Jackson as like artists, mm-hmm. right? They don't even fucking care about the actual personal news, right? This is just because it's our world. So,
95% of the country is not going to be able to see this thing because it's going to be in a limited run in LA. But it's probably that. I mean, this is headline making titles here, so it probably will travel to people. But I think it's the wrong time to do it. Mm. I think you got to consider the people that. That are going to be offended by this.
It's just funny because this totally seems like an article from The Onion.
Yeah, I know. Right.
I thought it was.
Well, it says January 25th, too. So, like, have they been in production already? Like, is this thing...
January 25th, 2020?
Or is it 2021? I don't know. The article says January 25th.
Let's see.
Doesn't it?
Alex, are you back there now?
He is!
Hey!
Alex!
Oh, my God. Hi, everybody.
Are you going to go see the Michael Jackson's Glove, Love is Glove musical? For this thing. Wow. Who are you trying to play?
Is the glove an option, I guess?
Yeah, the glove is an option.
I had a worse joke.
And introducing Alex Marzonia as the glove.
Marzonia.
I was just listening to Hamilton on the way up
here. How's our theme song coming?
It's
why?
It's there.
It's there.
It's there?
It's in my mind.
Oh, God. Don't do a Hamilton
theme song.
Let's
hear a little bit of it.
My guitar? Or do you have a guitar?
There it is.
Totally.
I hate that Cody's made me like Sugar Ray.
Mark, what else you got for us? Any other news?
Well, there's a bunch of news. I like this news that Colin Trevorrow, we didn't really cover it. He did get credited for Story By on Rise of Skywalker because he was originally going to direct it, did enough work on the script that the Writers Guild gave him the Story By credit. Cool. So he decided that he's going to donate all of his residuals to charity.
Right.
What charity?
I'm going to find out right now.
Glove charity.
Oh, boy. Please. I hope not.
What part did he write? Like Ray running in heels?
Oh, boy.
I love him. I'm sorry. I had to do it. I could not do it. I didn't get a ding from Cody.
No. I don't know if it deserved it.
I know.
The Alexander Divine Hospice, which helps families in the most challenging of times. He's going to be donating all his proceeds, the residuals from Rise of Skywalker to that, which could be a gigantic
chunk.
That's
pretty fucking cool of him.
Yeah. Really cool. As a family who's had to use hospice before, they are not only the most necessary thing, but like they deserve all of the money.
Oh, yeah.
That is a tough fucking job to sign up for.
And it's the...
They're like saints. They're angels. Yeah.
Yep. It's the Alexander Divine Children's Hospice. So we know exactly what that's about. So the fact that he's doing it to that charity...
Rad.
Is pretty amazing. I mean, I think this guy is a solid guy for doing this because we know what happened. He get like after Book of Henry, that was it. It was like we don't know if that was the reason that it bombed so bad or if it was creative differences with Kathleen Kennedy behind the scenes. But either way, this guy is coming out and I got to hand it to him because that's a lot of money coming in from Rise of Skywalker.
How much money do you think that actually is?
I would say in the millions.
You think so?
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
If you get a Story By credit.
Good for him, then, for doing that.
Good for his
level.
Oh, good for him.
Cody, let's open up the phone lines. We only have 10 minutes before we are cutting to commercial to go get our friend Chad Michael Collins to come in.
Yeah.
He's got a cool thing that we're talking about, guys.
Call of Duty, man. Yeah. He's in the Call of Duty game.
I was going to leave it for him to say.
Sorry, I was too excited.
But we'll take a couple calls before he does get into here. What do we want to use as our call noise today, guys?
As our what?
Call noise.
Yeah.
Sure,
Or
fart, Sugar Ray. What?
What's that?
I always like the cat.
The arrow
pouring the blood in the D-cup. I think.
Yeah. Do we need to pour blood in the D-cup?
You made up the term D-cup.
I don't have a soundbite for that, John.
I think the scream is a perfect soundbite for that.
Yeah, can you make a scream for
scream,
can
scream
you,
when there's a call back.
Cody, can you do a soundbite for Vagina Life?
There you go.
Perfect.
Well, no. Was that a test or is that real?
No, I think that's real.
Caller, you're on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
It's AJ from Lafayette, Louisiana.
AJ.
Oh, shit.
Welcome
AJ.
To the show. What do you got for us today?
Well, first off, I'm loving this new format. Dorina and Roxy, y'all are awesome. I'm just enjoying this so much.
AJ, I appreciate that.
You're the best, AJ.
About a year ago, I guess, is the first time I actually called. And funny enough, it was whenever the Captain Marvel trailer had just dropped. And so the today with the Black Widow trailer, I got to admit, I'm still not 100% on board for this. It's so weird because knowing what does happen to her, it doesn't feel like as big, especially being the first movie after Endgame. I almost wish it was kind of like a even farther back prequel whenever you always hear about the big incident with Hawkeye and Black Widow. So I was kind of wishing it was something bigger, but being it's the first official thing starting phase four, I'm not 100% on board. I'll watch it probably at some point, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I totally get that. Yeah. Thanks, AJ, for calling in. What do you guys think about that? Are you feeling not on board? Well, I know we discussed it a little bit, but...
No, I agree with them. That's exactly how I feel. I said it looks still good, minimal. Seems fun. I'm going to watch it. It's hard to get knowing what happens in Endgame. That's going to be on the filmmakers. Make me care. And I think they will. It's a Marvel movie. It looks great. I always love Marvel movies. So we'll see how it lands for that storyline.
John, do you think this shouldn't have been the first movie out after Endgame?
No, I mean, it's overdue. When do you drop it? If you wait any longer, I think it loses all its steam. I think this is the time to go. I think she's sympathetic because she has died. I think I'd reverse the approach I have about it, AJ, and I would say because she has died, it makes me want to see her backstory and character. I mean, wouldn't you want another Iron Man adventure? Wouldn't you want another Captain America adventure, even though they both like have what happened to them in Endgame? You would. Why not?
Yeah, and I feel like the first movie that you're going to release that's after Endgame should be one of the Avengers, right? And what better to this the one other than Hawkeye, she's the one that really hasn't gotten her time to shine, right? She's always kind of like a side character. So,
and it announces Florence Pugh as one of the pillars to the new Avengers going forward. That's a positive.
Fuck yeah.
She got hot on the scene so fast.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's like a freak of nature.
So badass.
Yeah.
I agree. Cody, let us know when you have another call. Caller, you're on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Garth from Boston, Mass.
Hey, Garth.
My favorite. Hey. What's going on? How's home?
All right.
I miss it.
Good to see you. Or to talk to you. I have a theory on the Rise of Skywalker. Agents from the Emperor are going to find one of Rey's used hookups. They're going to use the blood to get the midichlorians and clone her.
Yes!
Son.
Bringing it full circle.
That's Boston, Mass. Woo! Right there.
I honestly have never felt this proud.
I was like, okay, Garth, okay, Rey, and then blood cup.
For making me proud.
Holy shit. And, best call we've gotten ever.
Excellent theory. Thank you so much, Garth. Let's talk about this.
Yeah. Yeah, way to go. Garth comes in and he actually jumps in the conversation, brings in a callback. Yeah. I mean, that's how you do it.
Imagine if that is like they trolled us so hard that they did something ridiculous like that. They were just like, fuck you guys. You thought Last Jedi was divisive? Boom. We'll give you something to all hate. At least you can be on the same team.
Yeah, I think Rey on her period would definitely cause something.
Opening scene. We see Rey. It's a close-up on her face. Really intense. What's happening? We pan out on the toilet. It's Rey. Does Rey go to the bathroom?
The Force theme plays.
We got it. We're in so much room.
Let's take one more call before we go to Chad. One more call before Chad. Back. Michael Collins. Caller. You're on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, it is Nathan from Texas.
Hey, Nathan.
Hey, Nathan.
Thanks for calling in. What's going on? What do you got for us today?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, yeah, I wanted to talk to you guys. Oh, it's just a theory.
that I've been thinking about for The Watchmen.
Oh. Okay.
Since I know you guys are a big fan of it. Mm. I always thought that Lady True is the daughter of the comedian.
Sorry, Roka just took his headphones off.
Have you not seen
last episode? I'm seeing it today.
I want to respond, but Roka...
No, you guys respond.
Okay, my question to you is, then do you think that Silk Spectre is not?
No. I believe Silk Spectre is, but do you remember when comedian killed the Vietnamese woman that was pregnant with his so-called quote-unquote child?
I do remember that. I do remember that. It was fucking vicious.
Yeah.
It made me...
Ugh. Yes.
Wow. Because you want to know what's wild, too? Sorry, I'm about to really spoil something. Spoilers for Watchmen episode 7. She says that she doesn't know where, you know, her dad's going to be there, too, but he's not yet.
Right. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Wow.
What?
Nathan, Garth, what is up with all these amazing callers that are just blowing our minds today?
That's great.
Wow. Nathan, I'm obsessed with that. We have to stop talking about it because we need to have Roka back in the conversation. But
thank you, Nathan.
Yes to that.
Yes.
Actually, yes.
That makes sense.
You got to watch this episode, dude. We watched it again last night. I forgot about that panel.
Days, so. Wow. All right, we're done talking about that. Actually, I decided I want to take one more call before we go to break. And you know what? I do what I fucking want.
Oof. That's what happens when you listen to Eminem on the way here.
Cody, let us know when we have a caller. Damn, caller, Moxie. You're on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you Eminem-ing from?
Oh, boy.
Rapping?
Hi, I'm Chris.
Hey, Chris. Where did you say you're from?
Cleveland.
Nice. Hey, Chris from Cleveland. What do you got for us today?
I wanted to know if you guys saw the Jess Marsh trailer. It's like the second trailer for it. It looked pretty good. I feel like this movie's going under the radar, but it looks excellent to me.
Chris, say the name of the movie again.
We're talking about it. Just Mercy.
The Michael B. Jordan one.
Yeah. They just released the second trailer, and it looks great. Like, no one's talking about it.
You want to know what? I don't even think I ever heard of the movie. Mark, can you read us a synopsis? Just Mercy.
That. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen this poster, but I really don't even know what this is about. When is it coming out?
Soon.
It comes out Christmas, I think. And then I think it opens wide in January 10th, I want to say.
Wow.
Yeah, I did see this trailer.
Thank you for calling in, Chris. You did see it?
Yeah.
The second one you said that just came out?
Yeah, the second one was a couple days ago.
It's good. Yeah.
What is it about?
I don't know. Roka, what would you say? It's like... Go ahead.
Yeah, I got it. The powerful and thought-provoking true story, Just Mercy, follows young lawyer Brian Stevenson, played by Michael B. Jordan, and his history-making battle for justice. After graduating from Harvard, Brian might have had his pick of lucrative jobs. Said he heads to Alabama to defend those wrongly condemned with the support of local advocate Eva Ansley. One of his first and most incendiary cases is that of Walter McMillan, who in 1987 was sentenced to die for the notorious murder of an 18-year-old girl, despite a preponderance of evidence proving innocence and the fact that the only testimony against him came from a criminal with a motive to lie.
Mm. Is Larson Brie Larson?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. This movie's not on my radar. And now it is.
A lot of critics who've seen early screenings have been mentioning Jamie Foxx for a best actor.
Really?
Supporting actor or best actor?
Oh, best supporting maybe. You're right.
I mean,
maybe
it's
best
got
supporting.
A crazy cast.
Yeah.
It's cool.
What is Jamie Foxx's history at the Oscars?
He was nominated for supporting for Collateral and best actor for Ray the same year. One for Ray.
Right.
One for Ray. Yeah.
Mm. And those are the two nominations he's ever had?
I think that's only
was
two.
Was he nominated for Django?
He should have been.
No.
Yeah. But I think he's only been nominated twice, Collateral and Ray.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Amazing Spider-Man too.
Damn.
Of course. Electra's clearly his best performance.
Thanks so much to Chris for putting that on my radar.
Yeah.
Now it's there.
And great call.
I love Michael B. Jordan so much.
I heard the name, but I didn't connect it. So, yeah.
All right. Jackson,
well, we're going to go to commercial, guys. When we come back, we have Chad Michael Collins with us. We're talking Call of Duty. Yeah.
My name is John Paul Jones.
Hey everyone, this is John Roca. John Roca.
John C.
Make it big.
Welcome back to Collider Live. We are here with Chad Michael Collins, who last time when he was in here told us there was something big on the horizon, but I couldn't even tickle it out of you. Yeah, you wouldn't tell us what was going on, but now we know.
This is it.
Yeah.
Call of Duty, baby.
Hey, congratulations, man.
Thank you.
So how long have you known about this? And how? When were you able to start talking about it?
I just missed the window when I was on with you guys this summer talking about my werewolf movie. Mm-hmm. Like literally a few weeks later, it was announced at E3, and I was allowed to say something. So yeah, I couldn't tease it too much. But yeah, I got this part a year and a half ago.
How did that all happen? Tell us about the process.
Straight up audition.
And really?
Yeah. A lovely casting director named Emily Schweber. She brought me in. You know, everything is very NDA protected with these massive games.
Yeah.
So didn't know it was Call of Duty. Didn't know very much about the character, but just went in there, worked with the director and the writer.
I've never auditioned for a video game. What is it? Same as like regular sides that it would be for?
Yeah. They'll give you, you know, the scene works to do and stuff like that. But if, you know, you've auditioned for TV and film, you know, you're working in a frame like this, a mocap, a video game audition, they'll be like, use the space. Right. In fact, my audition was on the actual mocap stage where we ended up filming for the better part of a year. So I worked right with the director. We were, you know, sitting down, standing up. We had our weapons. The writer put me in a, you know, chokehold. You know, as indicated by the scene. So it was really – it's very, very different. And it's a lot of movement.
During your audition, the director put you in a chokehold.
Yeah. No, not the director. I won't pin that on him. Taylor Kurosaki was our wonderful narrative director on this. Infinity Ward, he's awesome. But Brian Bloom, super accomplished voiceover actor and actor in general, he wrote this. And he was working with me on the scene. So with the one, you know, I come in the video game and I'm trying to embed myself with Freedom Fighter. So we kind of shot one of those scenes in the audition. So he's like, hey, is it cool if I, you know, we get a little rough, we get some realism in this and whatever for all the cameras? And I was like, absolutely, whatever. So next thing you know, he's dragging me in by a chokehold and plops me down in a chair. And I'm like, this is going to be a really fun audition.
Was this your first time doing motion capture or have you done it before?
I had done a little bit before that, but nothing of this scope or magnitude.
What about a video game?
I did the one of the Star Wars cinematic trailers things. Mm-hmm. And there's another game called Hidden Agenda that I worked on for a few days as a supporting character. But this was my first full-on real deal experience.
And it's Call of Duty, man. This is like one of the biggest titles ever. And we were talking a little bit off air. I played this game. Every game that came out, I would play it. But I'm a campaign guy.
Right.
I get killed, sniped in the face every time I go online with these professional gamers. What is it like being – it's back. The campaign mode is back now for this particular game.
Yeah.
And
so,
you're the lead of it.
Exactly. You know, and they crank out a new Call of Duty title just about every year around this time, you know, the October. But they haven't had a campaign in the last few games, Black Ops 4 and stuff like that. So all the fans were not only excited that Modern Warfare was back after, you know, 8-9 years, but that there was a campaign they could play through. So the response has been phenomenal and very, very flattering, and the fans have loved it, and many are calling it the best campaign that they've ever done or since way back in the day. So we're all very proud of that response to it, yeah.
Are you a gamer?
I am. I am a gamer.
Were you a big Call of Duty fan before this?
I played all the original Modern Warfare series, which are you know, some of the classic Call of Duty games back in the day. And I went through and played them again, obviously, when I found out this was the part and this was the project. But I don't play as many first-person shooters as I used to. Mm-hmm. Kind of a Warcraft PC guy. Right. I like to dip back into the retro Nintendo, Super Nintendo stuff as well. But this game was a lot of fun for me to play through.
My friends make fun of me because I love playing games and I'm just god awful, like the worst you've ever seen.
Like,
I don't
you're not good at any of them.
Like literally none of them, D. Like I'm so bad at it. I need some pro tips. Like I can't. Somebody has to seriously like sit with me and talk me
so
through
it. So even like whether it's a first person shooter or like a you know Mario game,
oh,
like a simple.
My god. I learn one move and then I'll do that. Kind of similar to what we were talking about before. I Family Guy it. I'll do it until somebody is like over and over. I can't do anything. Like there's some kind of disconnect. I really don't know what it is. But growing up, my brother was obsessed with Call of Duty.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I literally like I would get slaughtered.
Yeah.
I just – you're bringing back really tough memories.
Well, I mean, what Mark was saying, you know, that multiplayer, that's a whole different animal. Like
that's why I was excited for the campaign, because I can do it at my speed.
Right.
And
right.
I can
and then nobody
learn
makes
the mechanics.
Fun of me.
Yeah. And nobody makes,
no one makes fun
unless
of me.
Unless we're sitting in the same room.
So to you, do you go on those online things when you would play Call of Duty, or are you strictly a campaign guy
I mean, I'm a campaign guy. I like the story mode, you know. Yeah. You're right. There's no one to laugh for you when you drop a grenade on your foot and blow yourself up and respawn.
Time.
So, but I think I will get into the multiplayer stuff. I won't be good. I'll probably never be good, but I've had a few invitations from Twitch streamers and stuff to come on and to play. So, you know, hopefully we'll let people laugh at me as I embarrass myself with the real ninjas out there.
Yeah, really.
So this is exciting for you, especially because I know you can't talk about that stuff until, and especially for video games, it just takes so long to develop them.
Right.
So I'm sure you've been dying to like actually be able to talk about it. Like, is there other stuff that you actually can talk about that you're excited about, you're working on? Is this something that you're like, holy crap, this is it. Like, this is like, how, just
level.
As an actor, like how do you feel right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's been awesome, not only because I was a fan of this franchise, but we knew we had made something really cool. Mm-hmm. And with the way that the video game technology increases exponentially every single year, if you play through this campaign, it's like one seamless, no fade to black, one seamless. You're in a cutscene, you morph right into the character, play the mission, then you morph right back out into a beautiful cinematic cutscene, and you just keep going. So it's really like a 7-hour interactive movie.
Right.
So we were really excited for people to have that totally immersive experience, and it was just flattering. The fans got really attached to my character, Alex Echo 3-1, who makes kind of a spoiler alert, a little bit of a heroic sacrifice at the end, and I was getting all these comments how much they loved Alex and how much they cried at the end. And when I played through it, I even got a bit emotional. There's some really high drama in the game.
That's the thing about video games nowadays too. Like, I remember I played the Telltale games, like Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. I was like, that shit made me cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to cry during video games. Yeah. So
the Last of Us. Have you played The Last of Us? That's one of the best games I've ever played story-wise as well.
Yeah.
But I want to go back, Chad, the filming of this, you said it was like a year. How long were you involved?
You were shooting for a year?
And
well,
like off and on?
Sort of.
Yeah.
Those were the outside dates. But within that, I probably did between 20 and 25 actual sessions. So, you know.
How long's a session? What's that look like?
I mean, it's just a full 8-10-hour day, you know, what have you, in terms of the full performance capture, motion capture, everything else. So we would come in and a week, you know, once a month, we'd come in for like 3 or 4 days on a week, mm-hmm. do a rehearsal day. We'd shoot out some stuff that was planned, and that just kind of happened over the course of a year. About every month, month and a half, we'd come in and we'd gear up for 3 to 4 days of shooting. And then we had a bunch of voiceover sessions afterwards right. to fill in all the battle chatter and the in-game stuff.
How physically like draining was it? Because I mean, you're super fit. Like you always post like your Instagram like super hot selfie or like you're like six pack or whatever. I'm like, you look like you don't eat a donut ever. So like, was it physically?
It's actually been years. But,
it's been years since you had a donut.
Yeah.
Damn. But you're on Call of Duty.
What? I guess that's the payoff.
Yeah.
But
was it physically like hard or like how much with motion capture? Because I have no idea that type of acting.
Well, you know, to save us all the effort, you know, they had real deal kind of stunt performers come in and do the in-game stuff, the ducks, the rolls, the diving, the mm-hmm. whatever else. So we were mostly responsible with the cinematic cutscenes and the mission intros and outros and stuff like that. So it wasn't as rigorous. I mean, there's certainly our share of drama, yelling and screaming and dragging bodies, you know, across the mocap set. But
as people do.
Yeah. But they let the actors do most of the acting. So yeah. It wasn't too terrible. You know, it was an AC controlled sound stage, which was nice, not, you know, melting in the heat.
I don't feel bad for you.
Yeah,
let's just put it that way.
You can't eat donuts, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You
talked
a little bit about the fan reception and that people were saying that they loved your character. Do you find it to be a different fan base, or more vocal, less vocal, kinder, whatever, than when you're in movies, TV? It's a video gaming fan base just completely.
Yeah, I've always found the fans to be lovely, and, you know, we're drawn to scale. It's not like I've, you know, got a following like Chris Pratt or anything, but they've been wonderful, and especially in terms of this game, I've never had such an outpouring of, you know, support and like love. I mean, I've seen cosplays. There's been Halloween costumes already for Alex, like a week after it dropped. You know, people are doing fan art and all the wonderful things that fan do. Oh yeah, 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 which is really, really cool. And it's just been a really overwhelmingly positive response. And you know, we did our job. They got attached to Alex. And, you know, when Alex goes boom, boom, bye-bye, maybe. Who knows? Maybe. But now the fun next wave of this is, if you remember from the old Call of Duty Modern Warfare trilogy, there's a very popular character called Ghost. Mm-hmm. And this was kind of a reboot of Modern Warfare in general. So there's all these videos with millions of views speculating that Alex is really going to become Ghost and he's not really dead. Mm. It's been really fun to watch. And that just shows you the level of attachment they had to this character, that they're speculating that he could actually be someone else or turn into someone else. This has been really fun to just sit back and watch.
What do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah.
I have no opinions on the matter.
I
don't even know it was Call of Duty when I got the job. Like, they didn't tell us until we were filming on day two what this actually was.
Wait, you are already filming and then they tell you?
Yeah, so we were flying blind the entire time. So you can imagine I know nothing to their designs on Alex becoming someone else or if he's alive. I have nothing. I've been on a need-to-know basis.
Was there maybe rumblings? Were people saying like, oh, based on this, we kind of think it's Call of Duty? Or was everybody like, no idea, some kind of game?
I mean, you could kind of put the pieces together. Like I had to do all these incredible amounts of highly detailed scans. Right. And we did that down at Activision, Marina Del Rey. And I'm like, I'm putting the pieces together now. I'm like, I think this is what this is going to be, but I'll let it come from them and not speculate.
But you sign on to it without knowing what it is.
Basically, yeah. Everything's under doctored names and everything else. And they hint and they tease at what it is. But until things are really ramping up and going, then, of course, they told us what it is. And we were NDA protected and everything, too.
Yeah. So what's that process like? I mean, when you do the full body scans and you're like, huh, and you're piecing it together, that's at Activision, though. Right? Is that what you said?
That one particular piece of equipment they used to do a lot of that stuff was down there.
Okay. So you can look up at the building and go –
yeah.
All right.
And it's Call of Duty stuff, all the lobby and everything
else. What do you guys mean? Yeah. What is Activision is a
It's a game maker. Game so when you
like
see Activision, right.
Games.
Right.
Yeah.
So you could like if you shows
this
up
is
at
how
Nintendo.
Bad I am at gaming.
If you show up at like Nintendo and you're getting scanned and you're seeing like little Mario Kart, you could be like,
I get it now.
Basically putting together like Naughty Dog, I know, is another well-known video game maker and so on and so forth.
So that's when you were super grateful you hadn't had the donuts.
Uncharted.
For sure. Is this something that you would want to do again?
Absolutely. One of the best experiences I've ever had. And they brought in really top-flight actors because – you know, the way the video games, as you can just see from the trailers that you see on TV now, it's the old way it used to be. We'd render everything in a computer. We'd shoot some stunt guys out and then we'd just throw a voice behind the character. But now, because you always have an extreme close-up on this helmet rig that you wear. You always have extreme close-up, but you always have a wide shot because there's 60 cameras on a mocap stage. So you need actors to be able to do it all. It can't just be digitally rendered anymore. You need someone in the suit who can do the micro expressions and the big acting stuff, mm-hmm. you know, whatever that entails. So they put together a really unbelievable cast. We had a blast. I mean, obviously the game is a bit dark. It's gritty. It's real. It's about war. It's not pretty at times, but we had the time of our lives because I think all the cast are from, you know, the 80s video game generation when things really started to blow up, and we all had that background in that. So it was doubly cool for us.
Did you know anybody you were working with, or was it all new people?
I was aware of a handful of them. We'd kind of, you know, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon throughout our careers and everything, but yeah. I became really close when we became pretty good friends with all of them, and I hope to see them all again soon. But we're all kids in a candy store. It's just something different and cool as an actor being immortalized in a video game as opposed to something else.
Yeah. Is it different when you walk on the set of a video game and you're getting ready to do your take versus like being on camera for a movie? Do you get like do-overs, or is it like going to screw up the technology if you flub a line?
Great question.
That is a good question. Yeah. And that's what makes video game filming unique, is that between action and cut, everything's got to be perfect.
Yeah.
There's no fixing that in an editing room because you're being filmed by 60, 70 cameras. That'd be a nightmare, right? So you have to be word perfect. You've got to, you know, hit your marks to a certain degree. You've got to be aware of the spacing and not put your hand through the chopper roof and all these other things that you're just kind of playing in this imaginative sandbox. And so it came with its own unique challenges, but that's why we had the rehearsal days, because it was kind of like a play that regard. So it was a very different filming process, but because they were doing it all at once. Mm-hmm. In a film, you know, this is going to be the close-up shot. And you prepare for that. The lighting's set for that, everything else. And it's a piecemeal. It's one at a time. This was everything all at once. So it was a totally different experience and challenge in that way.
Is there any ad-libbing?
We tweaked with some stuff, you know, as we went on. But for the most part, we stuck by the book, just because when you're dealing with military jargon, that stuff kind of needs to be
– you don't want to make that shit up.
Yeah, vetted in advance. Because, you know, former and current military, you know, they love these games. They love, you know, the sniper movies that I do for Sony.
Yeah.
They're the ones watching and they're the ones playing. So you want to get that as right as possible. And we had two really amazing ex-Navy SEAL advisors, consultants on this. And we got a day with them before we started filming. They were there every day to really help tease out the difference between, well, this is how a freedom fighter would be working an AK. This is how US CIA, former Delta, would be working this. So it was really cool. And they always helped make sure that we were about as accurate as we could be, you know, as actors trying to portray these soldiers.
That's incredible. Like, that's the thing about video game development. Like, these people just, like, there's so many teams around you trying to make sure that everything is not just looking good, but also specific. Like, that's insane.
And they pulled new punches. I mean, they talked to, you know, war correspondents from these areas in the Middle East. They really wanted to dial in and get it as accurate as possible. You know, it's called modern warfare. And modern warfare today looks different than what it looked like for Modern Warfare 3 in 2011. So they told a unique story particular to our present day. And for that reason, they pulled in all the heavy hitters to make sure that they were kind of portraying this. Yeah, I mean, it's still a video game, right? But they wanted to lend as much authenticity to it as they could.
Were you surprised by that, by them bringing in ex-SEAL and people that are vets? Or were you surprised to the lengths that they went to?
Not really. Yeah. You know, I mean, this is. You know, I mean, the one thing that I discovered about Call of Duty, when people would be like, "Well, what are you working on right now?" I'd be like, "Oh, I'm working on a video game. It's really cool. We're having a lot of fun." And they'd be like, "Is it Call of Duty?" It's not quite Star Wars ubiquitous, but it has that global appeal. They've been doing it for 20 years. It's been one of the top selling games consistently for all time. So it didn't surprise me that they didn't pull any punches with this sort of stuff, because the franchise is that big and there are so many fans.
And they tend to go back in time too. And one of my favorite Call of Duties is World War II,
right?
Where you get to play back in those days. Would you want to come back for something like that if they went to another World War II? And I wonder what that filming is like versus when you're doing modern warfare.
Yeah, what would be your favorite? What would be the one that you really wanted to do the most?
Honestly, I was always a big fan of the modern warfares, mm-hmm. but the World War II stuff is incredible. It's fascinating to me as a person, as an actor.
Yeah.
So I would do that in a heartbeat. But the funny thing is, whether it's World War II, whether it's Vietnam, whether it's, you know, World War III in the future, mm-hmm. you're still in that soundstage. And there's nothing there except Apple boxes and PVC pipe riggings representing choppers and Hummers and whatever mm-hmm. else. So you still have to have that kind of that really playful, imaginative element, which makes yeah. it really fun.
Did you find it incredibly challenging?
Not really. Wow. And I don't mean because I'm so good. Yeah. No, I just mean that...
you're well-trained.
Yeah.
Working with Infinity Ward, the cool thing that I noticed right off the bat is like people who make video games love video games. Mm-hmm. Their attitude is amazing. They're always having fun. They do this and they put in those insane hours because they love it. And it was that energy was really contagious from day one. And like I said before, Dark Material... had a lot of fun, you know, after Action and Cut. We had a lot of fun doing this game, and I would do it again in the heart. One of the best experiences I've ever had.
Are people gaming on set?
Are people gaming on set?
Yeah.
I mean, I went into Infinity Ward headquarters, and you would not believe the rows of, like, setups that they had.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Because they would host, you know, first looks. They would, you know, they work a lot with celebrities and influencers, athletes in particular, who love these games. So they have all these things set up all the time. And you know, they let us play through some of the beta stuff. They let us play through
really?
Some of the unfinished
that's
stuff,
what I was wondering.
Which is
really
cool.
Because I've seen the yeah. technology, and I know they were doing this for some, like, Star Wars virtual reality where you could see two actors walk on, and in the monitor, they're on Tatooine, they're C-3PO, yeah. they're R2-D2. Was it kind of like that with you? Could you see yourself, yeah. like, automatically rendered and in a scene, but, like, beta as you said?
Yeah, yeah. In the campaign – you're underground in caverns. Mm-hmm. You are doing, you know, missions under cover of night. You are creeping through, you know, a townhouse that may be a hotbed for terrorists. So we got to see crude renderings that would play up on the big TVs and monitors as we did it to give us a sense of the space, of the world, of the setting. You know, and then there's us. And then we see ourselves in the monitor. So now we're, like, doing dances and we're doing whatever else. It was just really, really fun.
That's cool.
In and of itself.
I kind of love that.
Yeah,
love
it's that. Pretty cool.
It sounds like a great yeah. set to be on. Cody, I do want to open up the phone lines. Any questions for Chad Michael Collins or things that we want to talk about anywhere yeah. in the nerdverse? Do we still want to do the scream when we get calls?
I like it, personally.
We had a freaky show, so we have a screaming sound.
Yeah,
do it.
There's some news out there that caused us all to scream inside, yes. I'm sure.
And also,
do you even want to bring it up?
And also Roxy's judgmental of my... feminine
choices.
Some yeah. choices, apparently.
Yeah.
So.
But I don't think that's as crazy as the Michael Jackson news.
No,
have you heard
not.
About this?
I have not.
Yeah.
They're doing Johnny Depp wants to produce a Michael Jackson musical that is about okay. how the glove, Michael Jackson's glove, is from outer space and took over Michael Jackson's body to do the things that Michael Jackson did.
Interesting.
A musical in
how do,
LA.
How do you feel
this
about
is coming
that,
out
Chad?
In January.
You want to watch it?
I mean, sign me up.
Is the strangest thing that I've ever freaking heard.
Wow. Yeah. Shouldn't be a surprise.
All right, let's get to this. Caller, you're on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Shane from Saskatchewan, Canada.
Shane, happy to have you. What do you got for us today?
Well, this is going to be a little bit of a wonky thing and a hot take, but I have a speculation about Saul, one of our favorite callers.
Okay.
Oh, Saul, okay.
I think... Saul is secretly in love with you, Roxy.
I agree.
Just let that sit there.
Yeah.
He is just scared to say it because it's like, oh, it's weird calling in. Sorry. But yeah, I think the reason he called in trying to get on your live stream is he really, really likes you, and I think he's just scared to admit it.
Shane, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate that. With no context, Chad.
Yeah. Am I in Love Line? I thought this was Collider yeah. Live.
Take on
okay.
that. Mm-hmm.
I'll be Dr. Drew.
I'll put it this way. What if you have a crush on somebody that hosts a live morning show? How would you tell this person you had a crush on them?
Oh, man, that is tricky, huh?
Yeah. That's
trying to hit on the bartender.
Would you?
Would
you directly tell this person, or would you call them and constantly give them crap? All the time.
It's like pulling my hair.
Oh, so it's like fourth grade playground
Correct.
Flirting.
He came into my stream okay. last night, too, and was such a dick to me again.
So you know he cares.
No,
what'd he
my
do?
God. He just, like, everything he says is mean. Like, he comes in so hot. I don't know. Just shit about, like, the way that I speak or the angle of my computer or what, anything. Wow. Anything and everything.
So it's like pulling the hair in fourth grade.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's madly in love.
I think he's really super duper not in love with me.
I think he is.
Really absolutely not.
And he's doing it, like, and he's trying to get to you the worst way possible because you don't like that.
Cody, help. Cody, tell me when we have another call. Cody, get me out of this. Oh.
You know Saul's going to be calling in now.
Oh, my God. Really? You guys think?
I hope
so. But, like, for somebody who hates me, he sure spends a lot of time watching me.
Because he doesn't hate you.
Yeah.
Because he's in love with you.
Get the net.
Any hate you've gotten so far or mostly love?
Not really. I
wow.
Every once in a while.
What the hell?
You know, there's a troll. There's someone that comes out of the
inevitable
cellar, wherever they reside. I don't know where trolls live. Not often.
Yeah. Now that you've done all the, you know, you've done video games, movies, like, what is there something that you're like, this is, I really want to do this one day? Like, is there a genre, anything that you're dreaming, that you dream of as an actor to accomplish?
Yeah, I mean, I love doing the soldier stuff. I've been really fortunate to do that across a lot of different things.
Right.
But yeah, I love sci-fi. I love comics. I'm a fantasy nerd. Mm. Like, anything in those arenas, I'm in.
So you know,
really would take very little for me to say yes to something like that.
So if you were, like, somebody asked you to be a superhero, you'd be like, immediately,
yeah,
yes.
I would.
Would you rather be in, like, a DC project, Marvel, Star Trek, Star Wars?
Yeah. I'm pretty open, but if I had to pick preferences, I'm more of a Star Wars guy than Star Trek. I'm more of a Marvel guy than DC, although I love them all because, you know, they're great.
How can you not?
Nerd.
Yeah, I'm a total nerd.
You're on the wrong show here. No,
I know.
Heroes, villains, guys. Heroes, villains. Get our cool swag. All right, caller, you are on Collider Live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Nick from Portland.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for calling in from Portland. What do you got for us today?
I just wanted to ask Darina, is there any way that you could make it mandatory that everybody watches Midsommar so we can get their review on it? Because I think, personally, it was one of the most underrated movies of the year. I thought the movie was fantastic.
I agree, and thank you for this call, because it's definitely on my top 10 of the year, not just because of Florence Pugh's performance, but I love Ari Aster. I think, like, as a movie, how it was directed, it is visually stunning. Mm-hmm. And he did some stuff that was crazy, with the cameras. Like, I don't know if they did it in CG in post, but there's things that were very subtle, like trees moving while people were on mushrooms, like just really weird stuff that I was just very impressed with all of it. And I know that certain people have seen it and they were not into it, like Mark fucking Reilly.
Mm. Oh, is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked 2/3 of the movie. I was so into it, and by the time we were getting towards the climax of the film and the end, I fell out of it because I just didn't do it for me. I'm sorry. I know. I usually love these movies.
I
appreciate the filmmaking, everything you mentioned, the performances across the board,
the
weirdness,
though?
The story was great. That's what got me towards the end there. I couldn't buy it all the way to the finale. I just couldn't buy it.
Maybe
we
need to do a spoiler talk.
We have to see it
before we do a spoiler talk.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe you should, you know, maybe you should come on.
Well, you
on
don't like any of the movies I give you.
You should come that's on Riley Roundtable.
That's not true. I like Hereditary.
Oh, that's true. Well, Parasite, though. You were like, that's all right.
Yeah, it was fine.
Because Midsommar, right?
Do you see all these indie horror movies? Is that even the right name for it?
You did Hereditary, right?
Yeah.
Because I adore Hereditary.
I'm the opposite.
See, there we are.
What do you think of Mandalorian?
I love Mandalorian. I think it's incredibly well done.
Yeah.
I really enjoy every single episode. Yoda's always been my favorite Star Wars character. So seeing a little tiny Yoda.
I get yelled at when I call him Baby Yoda.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably not Yoda, right?
He's not. We all understand that. But it's like
as a culture, we call him that.
Yes.
Yeah. It's fine. There's a ton of people. There's probably more people that haven't seen the show that are in love with Baby Yoda than people who watch the show.
Yeah, that's true. Are you watching Watchmen?
Yes. Which I love, actually.
It's guys, he fits awesome. In with the nerds.
Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm.
No, he's a nerd.
Yeah, you got to come back,
I don't just talk it. I walk it, too.
You're a nerd.
Yeah,
we all know it.
I'm a nerd.
Well, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare. Chad Michael Collins, thank you so much for coming in today. Guys, thank you guys at home so much for watching. Don't forget our swag. Also, I just really want to win this competition, but the clothes also dope. Heroesvillains.com. Use the code LIVE10 for 10% off. Make us beat the crap out of these other shows. Thanks to Darina, Mark Reilly, Cody, Alex. I'm Roxy Scar. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Collider Live.
I don't know what soundbite to play.
Napa Know-How.
At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, while supplies last, offer ends 8/31/20.
What's up? It's Kevin Hart. And with new rewards from Chase Freedom Unlimited, I now earn even more cash back, even on a beach getaway. I earn 3% of drugstores on beach snacks. These chips have some saying on them. I earn 3% on dining, including takeout, after a seagull eats all my chips. And I earn 5% on travel purchased through Chase, like a hotel room to hide from that seagull. Learn more at chasefreedom.com. Chase, make more of what's yours.
Account subject to credit approval. Restrictions, limitations apply. Offer subject to change. Cards are issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A. member FDIC.